This is PFW in Progress.
This is Mr. Hadley. He's captain of the guards. I'm Mr. Norton, the warden. You are convicted felons.
PFW in Progress.
Rule number one, no blasphemy. I'll not have the Lord's name taken in vain in my prison. The other rules, you'll figure out as you go along. Any questions?
When do we eat?
With Fred Kirsch.
Treasure Island, Robert Lewis.
Stevenson.
What's next?
Count Monte Cristo.
That's Cristo, you dumb sh**.
Who's this agent, Ben Dothan?
Gary Uberstein.
Who am I thinking of?
Alexandre Dumas. Dumas.
Dumas.
Paul Perillo.
I'd only ask 3 beers apiece for each of my co-workers. I think a man working outdoors feels more like a man if you can have a bottle of suds.
Maybe I just drink to get drunk.
And Andy. And Andy?
Young punk. Mr. Rock and Roll. Cocky as hell.
Hey, come on, old boys. Move it like molasses. Making me look bad.
We liked him immediately.
Andy Hart.
Andy crawled to freedom through 500 yards of smelling foulness I can't even imagine.
And while I'm excited about my future at Dighton Rehoboth,
some guy named Tom.
What the crisis is happy, horse.
He took the Lord's name in vain. I'm telling him what.
You'll be telling him about the ton up your ass. What is your malfunction, you fat barrel of monkey spunk?
And you never know, Lori might stop by.
Lord, it's a miracle.
Nothing left but that cupcake on the wall.
Let's ask her. Maybe she knows. What say you there, fussy britches? Do you like talking?
PFW in Progress.
I believe in 2 things. Discipline and the Bible. Here you'll receive both. Put your trust in the Lord. Your ass belongs to me.
All right, for the next 2 hours, your ass belongs to us. It's PFW.
That's a dangerous thing to say with Eric around.
Oh, see now, I thought we weren't going to do that anymore.
Oh, we were.
Right off the bat.
I've softened my stance on Andy. I don't let him.
We
get
had show prep and everything.
Your what on him?
All right, it's PFW in Progress. You're here until 2 o'clock. The gang's all here. Tom's farewell tour continues.
He's recording this, by the way.
Yeah, I know. He's got a camcorder out, and he's recording
just a couple of the
posterity.
Highlights.
You know this is going to end up on some stupid site on the
internet. Yeah, I was at the game.
Yeah, and it's
the one he
you.
Works for.
Right, but we're back. I'm back. I had vacation last week. I heard all sort kinds of stuff happen, and I apologize in advance for that right now.
From last week?
Yeah, from last week.
No, we were on good behavior
last week. No, just the quality of the show.
Oh, well, that's
got all kinds of emails.
Fred, I've said this many times in the last month or so. You're the missing ingredient.
Well,
and I'm not lying. I'm not even sucking up to the boss like I usually do.
But we got a lot going on.
You're the missing ingredient. When you're here, this show falls apart.
Now you're sucking up.
Okay. Gillette Stadium is just a busy beehive of activity. Of course, the rookies and some of the guys that have had injuries are here already. About 20 guys showed up yesterday. Everyone else will show up tomorrow, Wednesday. The conditioning run is tomorrow. And then it's just crazy. But beyond that, they're getting ready for the Country Music Festival here.
One of the roadies has a Giants hard hat on, just so you know. New York Giants hard hat.
Andy did not like it, Fred. You'd have been proud of Andy. He was upset when he walked by. He saw that Giants helmet. See, this is what happens.
Wait, you care that the weight racks got painted, but I'm not supposed to tell people that there's a Giants helmet in the building?
No, if it was a Steelers helmet, then Andy would have been psyched. But he was upset to see the Giants.
High fives a guy.
Anyway.
Mendenhall is ridiculous.
So they're getting this huge stage done for that. Patriot Place this place is just it's
Red
hopping.
Robin opens Monday.
It's hopping.
You'll need a hard hat.
Yeah, we've been hearing a lot about that.
Can we skip the practice on Monday to go over to Red Robin?
I'm not going anywhere near that place till they remove the crane that's 3 inches from
so
the front door.
We've got a lot of things going on. Of course, football is the main topic. A lot of emails coming in. People worried about where Craig Bunce is. People upset with how Eric handled the show last week.
I thought you were going to say people worried if Gerard Mayo's going to sign.
I know. That's what I was thinking.
Craig. You know, a lot of stuff that we'll get to in the show, and we have a lot going on, a lot to get to. But let's start off with some Patriots news, some signings. Patriots roster up to 79 players.
Yep.
One of you guys, why don't you fill us in with what's happened since Thursday?
Well, they signed 2 veterans yesterday. One of them, your favorite player from training camp a year ago, wide receiver Chris Dunlap, from the famous line of Fred Kirsch after he dropped a pass. He doesn't need the lap because he's done.
Fred actually had a funny there. He set it up well, too.
He did. That was one of about a million jokes he's tried that he actually delivered.
He's tick, tick, tick.
Rarely delivers.
First training camp, next the ESPYs.
Yeah. Fred making a bid to host the ESPYs, but we'll get to that later. Anthony Clement, tackle most recently of the Jets. Another one of these Oliver Roth
types. All 16 games
at
right tackle the last 2 years for the Jets. So a little bit more than just a kind of a, you know.
But he has a lot of experience.
Signing.
Another tackle they're adding to the mix who... Who knows what that has to do with guys that are here who may not be here or whatever.
And all that, what it means to him, perhaps.
And remember, and don't forget that for the much of the spring during the mini camps and in passing camps, Casual was lining up at guard, at right guard in the absence of Stephen Neal. So who knows if they're going to continue that experiment and if they want one of these veterans to take over at right tackle if they're not so sure about Ryan O'Callaghan or Wesley Britt or any of the other young guys they have around.
No, I didn't really get to read all that stuff on Kazier. Now, is he basically selling drugs? Is that what's going on?
I don't know. There's a lot of the information has come out in bits. He was pulled over for speeding, obviously, had oxycodone, which is a byproduct of Oxycontin or the main ingredient, whatever, 202 pills. We found that out. Then he participated in a DEA sting to, I don't know, not entrap, but get the guy that he claims, Danny from just off 93 near Boston, who was his dealer. Three different times he wore a wire, purchased over 100 pills within the course of a week or so. So then that led to, but now we have more information that when he was pulled over in New York, he was carrying the 202 pills were stamped CDN, which means they were made in Canada and aren't supposed to be carried over the border. But he was returning home from Canada from his hometown. He's obviously Canadian visiting family. But when pulled over, said, no, I bought them from Danny, a guy off 93 near Boston. I don't know what that means. To me, that there's an implication there that the drugs are coming from Canada. He's coming from Canada. I don't know. I put two and two together there, but that's
it would
not
certainly
where it went.
Seem as if the authorities have
because that's a big deal if you're smuggling drugs
absolutely.
Over the border,
right?
Whether it's
the government doesn't like that,
right whether now. It's because of his cooperation in whatever the sting operation was, maybe and that he cooperated in that, and they're kind of not pursuing any distribution charges. It would appear as if the authorities have bought his story,
which doesn't
make a lot of sense. I mean. When it was 100 pills at first, we had found out that he was buying like 100 pills within like a 3 or 4 day span. A lot of people were saying, well, a guy his size, it is possible if he was addicted to this painkiller that he could take that many in that short of time. But now we're up to 200 and whatever many pills. Now you're really suspending belief if you think he's just just for his own personal use.
Well, I don't know. I mean, if you're getting it in one shipment and you want to store them over a long period of time, that's actually not a lot.
What's a long period of time? He was going like every 3 days.
But those
are two different things. He may have only been going to this Danny guy because he had to for the whole facade of this is the guy I got him from. I'm going to pull this guy Danny down.
No, I don't know. I wouldn't jump to any conclusions.
I think they're two separate issues. One are the drugs that he had for his own. He didn't know he was going to get caught. They were clearly his drugs for his own reasons. The drugs he was buying was simply as to get this
I'm
guy
not talking
Danny.
About the sting. I'm not talking about that at all. I'm talking about the amount, just the pure amount.
Right. I agree with Fred. If he was in Canada and knew he could get drugs and was getting drugs for 3 months or whatever, that's a separate issue.
All right.
I mean, you don't get
Aren't you, as someone who knows people who takes a lot of drugs in the past, don't you not want to have a lot on you for that exact reason?
If it was my personal use, I wouldn't be having 2 or 3 months supply at a time. But that's
because I know people who have traveled and they downsize because they say if you get caught with a certain amount, they're going to think that you're selling it.
Right.
Well, that's clearly what happened, my guess is, because he then, they got him to help. That's what they do. They threaten you with a high charge, offer a lesser charge by you turning on somebody else. Yeah. That's how it played out.
But that's what it seems to me. I'm sorry, Eric.
Oh, no, that's okay. But then on the news, I don't know if you saw the news. There was a news report the other night basically just saying that the team is going to keep him on the team.
Well, that's been Stacy's comment. Anytime any of these news people have called,
he's still a member of the team.
Right, but it made headlines two days ago.
That was a very strange thing. I know what you're talking about. It was. That was terrible. Basically, you had a special report to just say that Nick Kazier is still a member of the New England Patriots.
Right.
That's not news. It's news if he's not still a member of the Patriots. I would expect at this point that he's going to be on the field with the team come the end of the week. And I think the biggest question right now is, does he have a job? I mean, not a job with the Patriots, but a starting job.
Right.
And if he does, where is it? Is it at tackle? Is it at guard? And where is Stephen Neal in his progress? I think there's a lot of questions on the right side of that offensive line.
I think that is another issue. You know, people say, why are they signing these veteran linemen? I think Neal is an issue, too. I think his health is an issue.
And even if he's ready to go, they're probably wondering, and Andy and I talked about this a little bit yesterday, can he play 16 games?
He's done. I mean, he's like an NBA player with a bad ankle or knee. You know he's going to miss some time. You just don't know when.
So you guys,
his shoulder is beyond repair, I think.
If I'm a Patriots fan, I'm a little concerned about this then, because you guys are telling me that the best offense in football, there's problems on the offensive line.
Well, the right side, at least. Well,
yeah, but if you can get pressure on Brady, the best offense in football becomes average. We saw that in the Super Bowl.
Same problems they've had for the last 2 years.
Well, so that's kind of how I feel about it, Fred, is they've been able to cover up those problems.
Right.
Because I don't think the line – a lot of the fans really jumped, I thought, a little bit overboard after the Super Bowl. But I kind of agree with the fans on this one, which is rare for me. I agree. But I don't think that the line is as good as, you know, three Pro Bowl players would make it look. You know, on paper it looks like this great line. Well, they have a two-time Pro Bowl left tackle, an All-Pro left guard, and a Pro Bowl center. I don't think the unit itself individually is quote unquote that good. But I also have seen Brandon Gorin start games, Tom Ashworth start games, Greg Robinson Randall start games, Russ Hochstein start games, right. Wesley Britt. I don't really think it's that big a deal.
Yeah.
I think that they've shown the ability to scheme past.
You know, I'm glad that Matt Light is a two-time Pro Bowler, and I'm glad Copen went. But the whole process for selecting linemen to the Pro Bowl, once you get in there, you're kind of like set.
Well, it's the same in any position.
It's tough.
But you have to get in there.
Right. Copen and Mankins were first-timers.
That was their first time.
But the argument is people
went to the best offense that threw the ball a lot and didn't give up a lot of sacks and said, yeah, they must be pretty good.
Right.
And I got no problem with that.
And
because let's face it, they didn't give up any sacks. But the average Joe and the average player has no idea who's good on the line. No idea.
I've always looked at it as the amount. I always feel like Brady has been under more pressure than the statistics will probably show over the last 4, 5, 6 years. I think he does a great job of getting rid of the ball, and he does a great job, obviously, with his preparation, which allows him to know that he's going to face pressure and where and how
it's much like Marino. I mean, everybody said you got to get at Marino. People rarely did because he was just so cagey in the pocket, had a quick release, and knew when to get rid of the ball. He actually made his line look better.
And we probably also should add, Fred, you asked what happened since Thursday. Three of those draft picks have signed since then. Jonathan Wilhite on Friday, cornerback out of Auburn, fourth-round pick. And then yesterday they signed the two-thirds, Kevin O'Connell and Sean Crable.
So all that's left now are the one and two.
Yeah.
Wheatley and Mayo.
And the most important two, the two that could potentially start and or have a rotational role from day one.
They've done them in order. What are you saying?
No, I'm just saying they're the two most important. No one would care if Matthew Slater wasn't signed to start training camp.
Right. Well, I know that the show fell apart last week, Fred, without you, as we pointed out already, but we all talked about it. No one's really worried about the draft picks being
signed. They've never had a problem. As I said to Paul, even the problem, Ben Watson, I think ended up being a problem between the player and the agent as much as the player and the team because they couldn't get on the same page.
Well, certainly, he dumped his agent.
Right, and then took what the Patriots offered. Right, yeah. And then took what the Patriots offered. So they've always gotten it done in time, and I expect they'll get it done in time.
No one's concerned about the draft pick signing.
Okay. Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. Practice for the public starts on Thursday. There's a morning practice, 9:30, right?
8:45.
I think it's earlier than that.
8:45. Why do I think 9:30? I don't know.
You must have a...
Because you lost it.
That's generally what time you show up.
That's Saturday's practice. Is that
Wow, did you hear that?
You sure on that?
I show up at...
Are you sure on that?
There's doubles on Saturday.
Saturday is
Sunday.
He's just throwing
one
days
of those
out
days.
There.
I don't think any day it starts at 9:30.
I don't think so either.
It starts at 9:30 because there's no afternoon practice because of the country music.
No, it's
according to
the release, we have double sessions on Saturday.
Yeah.
They changed it?
Unbelievable.
Well, let's hope they change it back again to one practice and at 9:30.
He says crying out loud like he's going to be here.
Right. I am going to be here.
Saturday?
Yeah.
Why?
Why?
What are you doing?
I always come to the practices.
The hell you do? You weren't here at the country
about 4 years ago? You always came to the practice.
Was that you and I? We were here last year, right? Wasn't that you and I? Was Fred sitting next to
Actually, it was me.
And then I was stuck in traffic.
You were stuck in traffic for the festival.
But was Fred Kirsch anywhere near you?
No.
Okay.
You're looking at me like I've hurt you in some way. They're the ones that are saying it, not me.
But because it's true.
Close your mouth before a fly flies in.
I think I was probably at more practices last year than you were.
Okay. Well, you weren't at the... that's not the point I'm arguing. I'm saying that you weren't at the Country Music Festival, and I believe your exact quote was, I'm not going to be anywhere near that place on Saturday.
I'm not. I thought that there was just a morning practice. I am going to be at the morning practice. If there's an afternoon practice coinciding with that festival, I'm out of here.
I actually think that they're I think that might be one of those things that they're kind of dangling a carrot for the players early on in camp. Because that not only that there's going to be a double session on
Sunday.
On Sunday. So
three
that's gonna,
of 4 days they'll
that's
have
gonna
doubles.
Go, that's going to go double, single, double, double to start camp. Right. And I'm not sure that Bill will do that.
Which used to be like the old days, wasn't it? Wasn't it every day, like the first 2 weeks, was double sessions for the most part?
Yeah.
Well, before, the old
days. A long time ago.
Yeah. Before me, I'll tell you that.
Yeah. And my memory may be a little shady, but I don't remember him being at a practice the last week of training camp.
Yeah.
Yeah, you used to be
Paul,
every
you
practice.
Used to say, Fred,
absolutely,
you're
Fred.
Practice?
Absolutely, Fred.
Yeah,
there was
used to. It was
there was a time, probably my first 3, 4, 5 years here, Fred. You never missed a practice.
I try to get.
Matter of fact, we used to do it so wrong. The way we used to set everything up is all of us would go to every single practice, and you know we'd end up being here until like 10, 11 o'clock
and
at night.
We'd be burnt out by day 4.
The issue. Yeah.
Well, I think that you know if you're covering the team, you want to get all the information you can personally with your own eyes. So that you're not depending on someone else's interpretation.
Well, I trust the interpretations of my coworkers.
Oh. What does that mean? That'll be the first time ever.
Andy, Tom, Eric, I apologize. I didn't mean to be so disrespectful by saying I trusted your
points of view.
You weren't
including Fred in that, were you?
I'm just shocked.
Dave Thomas making it look easy.
I didn't mean to take that rocket shot at you guys.
All of a sudden, Paul's on ESPN. Well, Dave Thomas made it look easy today in practice. Paul, according to our notes, Dave Thomas still on IR.
First of all, if I was on ESPN, it wouldn't actually get on the air. It would end up on the cutting room floor.
Fred, don't you have something to read over there?
Oh, yeah. This is the last chance to buy lunch for Tom.
You really delivered that with a lot of gusto.
It was so natural. I can see why they'd want you to host the ESPYs.
So,
there's no I'm reading off a teleprompter.
No, this is
Tom Swan song.
Thursday, Tom will be on the show, but we don't need lunch between
it's training camp,
Thursday
yeah.
and August 14th.
This is the last lunch we need for a while, and it'll be last one for Tom, so somebody should send him a salad and the rest of us subs.
Yeah, somebody should.
Where's that Simonelli?
Oh, he
sent me an email saying that he was here. But did he bring lunch?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Wings.
So all kinds of chicken. How about Chris from the Bronx?
We ask our frequent lunch buyers to step aside and
allow. No, we don't. We don't ask anybody to step aside. We ask somebody to step up.
Anybody
and buy
that's
lunch.
Interested, I don't ask to step aside.
Yeah, Chris from the Bronx, you haven't bought in like 2 weeks.
webradio@patriots.com is the email address. Webradio@patriots.com. 508-543-7482.
Strippers is in.
7482.
Thanks, strippers.
Strippers calls in.
Unbelievable.
He must have some news on the dirty.com that he wants us to.
Or cheapest internet quotes on insurance for your car that you need in a long email address.com.
Or he's going to send you a video on DeMond Parker.
Strippers, there's actually an Oklahoma football paper upstairs in the graphics department. They're using it as a.
He gets it.
It's
a brochure,
on
like
RV
season ticket holders, where to park at the Noble Center and stuff, RV parking. We noticed it because the executive director was a guy named Joe Castiglione, Fred.
Speaking of strippers, we should talk about the ESPYs.
Joe Castiglione.
Adrian Peterson won Breakout Performer of the Year, which I thought was a little fraudulent. I have problems with some of their, awards. Don't you?
Just so you know, you're the only one.
When did he break out, though? I'm sorry, but wasn't he good as a freshman at Oklahoma? So, how is that a breakout? He was always good. He got to the NFL. He's still good. He's always good.
Wow. He's just an angry,
He gets angry at the weirdest thing.
The only award I think is worth, if you have a favorite team and it's up for Team of the Year, then that's kind
of
cool.
Team
but
of the Year is
that,
fine, Athlete of the Year, but it's almost like Comeback Player of the Year, which I want to get into, because Kevin Everett won
athlete
an award,
of the year
and I was upset.
Athlete of the Year should be Tiger Woods. Did he win it?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
But there you go.
Blew Tom Brady out of the water.
Andy has a rant to go on. I don't know what it's really about, but I know it's about Kevin
Everett.
All I know is it's about Kevin Everett. Right,
I know you want to talk about the ESPYs.
And Kevin Everett. Okay. And Aaron Andrews. I turned in for the ESPYs and saw the Golden Globes.
He's really been waiting to get that one up there.
Oh, okay. I thought you were going to. I thought you were going to say, "But I want to go to a commercial."
No.
Is
go,
it okay?
Go
on your rant.
Okay. First of all, Justin Timberlake was phenomenal. One best host I've ever seen of any award show in the history of award shows. Fred Kirsch thought he fell flat. It was awkward. Didn't like it.
Didn't care for the Patriots.
Joke about the cameras.
I only
borrowing
saw the first
cameras.
10 minutes, and I thought his
which, by the way, included the Patriots joke.
It was awkward,
and it wasn't. Everybody else I've talked to said. At worst, it was okay and
Andy
funny.
Get so passionate
at
about
best,
anything?
It was very,
yeah, something
good.
More ridiculous.
It was tremendous. Number two, Aaron Andrews hosting for ESPN on the red carpet, backstage, all that crap.
looked phenomenal. She looks hot when she wears sweaters and pantsuits and all that in her professional getup. But when, as Fred puts it, she sluts it up, she goes on this award show.
This
she
is great for the kids
tremendous.
In the future.
I never said
Fred
that.
Just said, I never said
You said
that.
She sold out, would never be treated with any credibility
to, when,
again.
When you're a TV journalist and you dress like that and act that way, you have to worry about your credibility.
How did she pass? She's at an award show.
Oh,
everybody that's a woman.
Over players and stuff. You can't do that.
You got that from the first 5 minutes of the show?
I mean, I don't care.
Interesting.
It's fine with me, but, you know, now if she's trying to do
it was uncomfortable.
I didn't
a hard-hitting story on something.
She fell flat.
I'm just going to
she'll never
about
she
it.
A fall
she
flat.
Didn't fall flat.
No.
She's got built-in airbags. Keep her upright.
But are you ever going to think of well, anything but her Golden Globes?
No, but I'm a creep.
Okay.
But any girl who does that, I'm going to think of her Golden Globes.
90% of the guys who watch the ESPYs are creeps.
Right.
Okay.
You know what's going to be great? When my kids watch this like 25 years from now, they're going to say, I thought you worked for the Patriots.
A classy organization. But anyway, I want people to email in if they watch the show. Did you like it? Hate it? Justin Timberlake's performance? Was he funny?
Just
awkward?
The monologue. I didn't see anything beyond that.
Okay.
Yeah.
He was funny throughout.
See, no one else can really comment because Eric and Tom and I didn't really see it.
Yeah. So. Although I saw a team of the year, and I thought the Giants should have won.
Oh, I don't.
Oh, no way.
No.
Gary was disgusted. Gary was disgusted.
They got
were even,
hot at the right time.
They were even
they
considered.
Team of the year.
I just wanted to get your reaction.
Who did
Fred.
Get team of the year? Celtics?
Celtics.
Yeah.
I think that's the right choice.
Another title in L.A., said Ray Allen.
Another win in L.A., didn't he say that?
Yep.
Whatever. Another win in L.A.
Okay.
It was in L.A.
But that wasn't uncomfortable. That was
no.
That was funny.
But my minor rant, and I got a little worked up last night. I was watching the replay last night because I hadn't seen it the first. Kevin Everett
won
an award.
Watched again?
I hadn't seen the second half.
You're in love with the show.
I hadn't seen the second half.
I think he's in love
half.
With Justin Timberlake.
In love with the ESPYs.
More importantly, my wife is in love with Justin Timberlake and thought it was really good. First of all women love Justin Timberlake. He's a heartthrob. Everybody loves him. Lori wants him. Everybody loves him.
And you would know that. And that, by the way, the email Simonelli sent me, he said that there is no doubt in his mind you and Lori are sleeping together.
Oh, we talked about that.
No doubt.
Week.
Anyway, let's move on.
He said, I thought you guys were only exaggerating, but you can actually see it. You can actually see it when you're here and witness it.
I had a Kevin Everett won Perseverance Award, I think it is. It's like a Jimmy V award for Perseverance.
And I'll tell you what a disgrace that was, the guy, you know.
No, but they praised him for not giving up.
Are you going to make fun of Kevin Everett?
This is what I've been waiting for all morning.
But I'm also not going to say he's any more worthy than anyone else who's ever been paralyzed. He got lucky. The right set of circumstances came together. There was a miracle.
He did get lucky.
No. A doctor used this creative whatever, and it happened to work out, so he got to walk again. Are you going to tell me that any other player that's ever been paralyzed isn't walking again because they just say, well, I'm packing it in. Now, I'm sure there's some that, you know, get
I would
depressed.
Have said that.
But I'm sure there's some that have worked as hard or harder than Kevin Everett but didn't have the benefit of good fortune, a miracle, the right doctors, the right timing, the right hospital, the right nurse, whatever. And
what are you comparing it to for this year? They just
boy, you're really going deep into these ESPY awards. I think they kind of just put these things together
totally
in like an hour.
It's disrespectful to anyone else who's ever been paralyzed. You don't walk again because you didn't try hard. See, this is your example. He tried hard, so he's walking again. I don't get it.
So you think Mike Utley is sitting somewhere all pissed off?
Yes, he should be. Dennis Byrd, Mike Utley, any of those other guys that have been paralyzed. Who's the guy
but
from
they
BU?
Couldn't win it?
The guy who hit his
the hockey player.
Yeah,
yeah, I forgot his
Travis
name.
Roy.
Travis Roy.
You know why they didn't walk again? Obviously, because they gave up. Because if you just try a little bit, like Kevin Everett, they'll give you an award and you can walk out at the ESPYs and accept it.
That was worth starting the tape
this
for this
year. And
right, but the implication is he's the one who tried hard. He persevered.
No, I think, I understand what you're saying, but I think what they mean to say is this year he tried hard, period. It's
right.
Not that he tried harder than the other guys.
But that's the
implication.
That
happened in other years.
That's the implication.
If you want to take it that way.
That's the way it came off, even the way he spoke and accepted it.
Right.
Like, I would have liked him to have just said, I was really fortunate. I had some great doctors who did the right thing at the right time, and God graced me with the ability to come back.
Okay.
But he just said, I didn't give up. I persevered or whatever, like Jimmy V said. Well, you know what? Everybody else tries too, but they didn't have the good fortune to come back from it. Doesn't mean they tried any less hard.
All right.
Okay,
I'm not so sure they all tried that hard.
One other thing, ESPY related a little bit.
Your mic's not on, numbnut.
Just a little bit. It's Justin Timberlake related, but yesterday circuit court or something like that. Just one lower than the Supreme Court throughout the whole case.
Wardrobe.
CBS appealed the
$550,000
fine that the FCC levied on them after the malfunction, the costume malfunction in the Super Bowl with Janet Jackson, and now they don't have to pay this money.
He even made fun of that on the show when he was ripping the Patriots about filming, and you know, he said, I would hope they wouldn't, you know, treat the Super Bowl that way, and the Super Bowl, hallowed ground, it went dark, and it's the most respected game in the world. And while he was saying that, in the background, they put him ripping her breastplate off.
Oh, that's good. See, I didn't
see that. See, now that was funny.
It was very funny. Right.
That's funny. That's good.
I'm just saying. He was very good throughout.
But do you think...
You can't pick and choose the Patriots jokes. Oh, that's not funny. I fell flat.
I'm sorry. Do you think it was the right move by the court? To drop that fine,
yeah,
I don't think the
actual time that it was revealed, it was like 9/16 of a second or something like that.
Although I was watching a show on technology, and
although our photographer got it,
yeah,
everybody got
creep show.
It was on the web. In
our
like
photographer back then got things that.
He was
the best. Yeah. The best
he
indeed.
Got things that Matt Walsh only dreamed of.
Unfortunately, he didn't get any of the.
But
game.
That 9/16.
If there's a crotch shot to get, he got that.
Well, at least he got that. We got a photographer now who doesn't get the game or the crotch shot.
Certainly not in focus anyway.
That's the most rewound event in the history of television.
What's dirty
according to TiVo's subscription rates. They do like anonymous research on all their subscribers. That's the most rewound event in the history of TV.
It was lovely, I must say.
I thought it was kind of freakish. Didn't it have like a star?
Had a star.
I don't like nipple piercings.
It wasn't piercing. It was
this just in. Andy is against
No.
Piercing.
That wasn't that was like a clamp or a something. That was steel on boob. Sakes.
Okay.
Oh, for God's sake.
All right.
You brought it up. You said it was nice. I
Speaking
didn't like
of,
it.
You mentioned Chris Simonelli visited.
Christian.
Yes.
Christian Simonelli.
Another, by the way.
Well, he made that point.
Shorten his name.
He doesn't want.
Well, he doesn't want you to shorten it.
Okay.
Like Benjamin Watson wants Benjamin.
Anyway, he says he enjoyed the visit. He's sorry he missed Tom and Fred. He had some observations. It's
Matt
amazing.
Slater.
It's amazing Eric hasn't gone postal yet. Two, Andy is relentless and will never stop torturing people. Three, Paul is simply the man. Wow. Four, Gary is a master behind the glass. Five, I still don't know what mini Gary, Ferreira, and Baranski do.
Just join kidding. The club. Poor Ferreira
getting
lost in
there. A great group of people up there, and I hope you know the value of having people like that in your employment. Give them a friggin' raise and put the show on video.
Yeah.
Chris, obviously.
Just so you know, Tom, he's another one of our listeners who's successful. He's an engineer, monitors the water levels
works
under
the city
of Boston, keeps $10 billion of real estate from collapsing into the harbor or something.
All right.
he talked to us like in really specific terms, detailed about what he did, and that's how he sums it up.
Summarize it. No one wants the details.
The responses are coming in. Todd, Nova Scotia. When did Andy become Trenton Albany? And for the 387th time in a row, I agree with Fred. Justin Timberlake sucked.
Who's this?
Todd.
You're an idiot. I'm with Eric. Todd Nova Scotia is a dumbass.
All right, so that's. I'm going to try to keep a tally here. An unofficial tally.
Bat.
One
William
on Barry one Fred.
Says, I will never watch ESPN again. Short
Two.
Of Disney selling it. Strike that. I have to watch Monday Night Football.
He's not
when the
fair.
But he said he didn't watch it.
And this is.
Okay. So
he's a
won.
Crazy anti-ESPN.
Well, I'm expecting
and
Fred to
guy.
Win this in a landslide because I'm
Josh,
guessing, much like we didn't get any reaction for the South Park episode, I think that that's
right.
The only thing people are going to focus on is Timberlake is an idiot because he made that comment
which
about
was like
cameras.
3 seconds out of a 3-hour broadcast.
Josh from Arlington, Timberlake was awesome.
Jackpot.
Best part was when he talked about Eli Manning seeing a girl naked for the first time. I did like that joke.
Oh, okay.
There's a surprise.
Manning's wife looked like she wanted to kill Timberlake.
She did, but a quick aside there. She's this like beautiful blonde bimbo-looking wife.
Yeah.
No. And Deidre, we're watching, goes, they put the
That's
little
bimbo
name up.
Looking.
Yeah, bimbo-looking. I didn't call her a bimbo. They put the name up, Abby Manning, and she goes, oh, it's not his wife, it's his sister.
Fred just got it.
Said, I turned and said,
Fred,
are you an effing moron?
Such an idiot.
Wait, Fred, you saw a lot in that first 5 minutes.
Yeah.
I did. I mean.
Apparently you saw the whole show.
I saw. Because
not all of this was in the first five minutes.
No, I saw the whole monologue up to the first commercial. That's what I saw.
You know, he's doing this is what I used to do to Brian Morey when I didn't really want to talk about something, and he would say, "Were you listening to Dennis O'Callaghan this morning?" And I would say, "No," and I had heard the whole thing just because I didn't want to. And then, you know, as the day went on, he'd drag it all out of me that I
pull
heard.
Pull out the little facts. So
like
we're
Fred's stories.
We're at 2. Yep, we heard it, Fred. 2-1. We're at
2-1. Yeah.
No, it's 1-1.
1-1.
The other guy didn't
one
watch
on your
the
side.
Show.
Oh, okay. One.
He doesn't watch ESPN. He's banned them.
Well, a lot of people have done that around the Boston area for their slams of the Patriots.
I've done it, but if they're slamming the Patriots, maybe I should start watching it again. I just don't like I don't like SportsCenter. I've kind of grown.
See,
tired
I actually
of it.
Look at ESPN as being extremely pro Boston. I think everything is about the
I
Red Sox, the Patriots.
About,
I think
before Spygate, we had our own tab up.
That's
there,
what I'm
right.
saying. I think ESPN is very, very much wow.
NFL
the Spanish
playoffs,
channel
Patriots.
Now in front of Fenway Park.
Yeah. Hey, I've seen that guy. He's been here.
Oh yeah, I know the guy you're talking about. Yeah.
You know, there's only like three Spanish reporters.
For God's sake, what is wrong
Morales?
With you today?
TV Azteca, him, and someone else.
All right, people don't know what we're talking about. Anyway.
Well, we're watching that Spanish soap opera, as we want to do.
Stripper says, Justin was okay. I had to turn the channel anytime the Giants were up for an award. Aaron Andrews was smoking hot. So there's one in the middle. Because I said he was okay.
Well, he's disregarded that.
Well, you never said he was okay.
Either on Fred's side.
You said he fell flat.
I said
you said it was
okay.
Awkward and uncomfortable.
Uncomfortable, fell flat. That's, you know, like.
You had to turn around, rewind the tape.
You know when they sum it up at the end?
I got it on tape.
Fred Kirsch.
Lame. Yeah. So,
you watched
being
the
lame host of a show is not
if I knew how to use that thing, I'd do it.
Simon said that you were uncomfortable and fell flat. Andy?
Loved it.
You love the Golden Globes?
All right, so that's
the audience has voted.
So now,
Andy Hart.
He said he was okay.
Now we're NHL, 1-1-1.
Right.
Okay.
Oh, by the way, we have a special. That reminded me. You mentioned ties, and I thought of MLS.
You're serious about this, huh?
Yeah, pointing the finger.
We have a special guest coming in around
going
the 1
streaking.
O'clock area time that is going to fill us in a very harrowing event over the weekend.
But you don't even know the whole story, do you?
No, I'm going to find out.
But you know Tony Soprano upstairs?
The intern, Tony.
Went to high school with
Tony
the guy.
Oh,
who,
I know that.
Oh,
he told
okay.
me about that. So
why aren't you having
we're
him
gonna
on?
Find out.
So what happened? The
he's
guy
the guy
just
should be on.
Freaked out. Got
have,
naked and tried to get
have,
out the exit door.
Yeah. Just don't spoil it for people.
It's been
but it's on the
newscast for a week.
I don't want your version of it. I want his version.
I don't have a
his version.
I'm asking.
The news's version. But there was an incident on an airplane that one of the Revolution people were involved in over the weekend, and we have the person live. He's
going
to be in studio to tell us blow by blow what happened.
Pretty cool out there, huh, Frank?
Yeah.
So that'll be around 1 o'clock or so.
Nice tease.
KFC still open?
Hopefully that'll be right when the food arrives, so I can leave, go eat, and come back when
well,
you guys
are
done.
Well, there are only five microphones, so
I'll leave.
I'll be the
no.
One to leave.
I'll leave.
So, Fred, are you getting any closer to figuring out who's going to replace Tom?
I have someone in mind, and I'm making him an offer this afternoon.
Oh yeah,
and I know who it is.
That my guess is it's an offer he can refuse.
Well, it will be. So hopefully he won't refuse it.
Now, while you were on vacation, did you happen to hear any of the political ads for all of the candidates who were?
I heard none of them.
Really?
No, I don't listen to the show when I'm not working.
Gary does.
You barely listen to it when you are working.
That's true.
He was on
What's
his
that?
Team when he listened. Were you going to toss
well, that was
there?
Well done, Eric. Now continue, because you set that up nicely.
Right. So on pfwinprogress.com, the great website by James in Wales.
Yeah, it's not so great. He hasn't updated it in like 2 weeks.
Well, look,
not,
the guy's like a couple of days away from leaving. Now he starts
he's on holiday.
The site.
I don't care. Have someone else do it.
On holiday. That's good.
Yeah. That's what they say in the
it's losing viewers. James, I'm disappointed. I was on vacation. I go to your site to find out what's going on in the show, and nothing. It's still
says
about Craig.
Craig's dead baby.
But he added the comma.
Oh, he did?
Yes.
Did he really?
Yes.
So now it's Craig's dead, baby.
So they had a poll on the site for who should replace Tom. There were like four actual names, and then one was no one can replace Tom, and then there was another category for somebody else.
Right.
And then in these last couple of weeks, there have been each of those candidates who had names. It was like Brian Lowe, Christina Acra, John
Rook. His introduction is longer than the freaking ads.
They took out ads.
He's doing
to
a fine
to,
job.
To try to convince the voters, the listeners, who should replace Tom. And so we've been playing those for the last few shows.
You know what I would like to see,
out.
Eric? My wife, because she teaches young kids, always talks to me like I'm a two-year-old. I'd love to see a conversation.
I don't
why.
Think it's because she teaches kids.
You keep telling yourself that's the reason why.
No, but she just explains everything, like you do. I'd love to see a conversation between the two of you.
You probably wouldn't understand
did a fine
it,
job there. Because Fred was supposed to toss to it, but let's hear one of the ads.
You want your new PFW in Progress co-host to have a voice, and John Rook has it. big time. John Rook is the voice of Gillette Stadium, the voice of the three-time Super Bowl champs, the voice of Patriots Playbook.
That's the show that's on after this show.
And the voice of the New England Revolution.
The soccer team that plays here when the Pats have the day off.
Anyway, he's the voice to lead the next generation once Casale ends his term. And John knows who likes it in a bottle and who likes it in the can. Log on to PFWInProgress.com and vote Rook in 2008. And don't forget that whole bias lunch thing.
I'm John Rook, and I approve this message.
Very good.
You didn't listen to the jokes, did you?
No, yeah, he was reading.
He wasn't
the song.
Paying attention.
You were reading, and you ignored him.
No, I was listening.
There was a little shot.
Fell
at
flat.
His show, a little shot.
Yeah, they
at
felt. Yeah, exactly.
I was a little uncomfortable.
Hey, Gary, I got a question for you. What's this new buddy thing with Eric? First, you don't like him. You don't invite him to your wedding. Not...
No, he was just doing a fine job of progressing the show and introducing the bit that Fred didn't.
I've noticed a change
to...
in your attitude towards.
You've
given up.
I've
any
given
port.
Up.
Okay.
I've come to grips with it.
All right, Eric, have you been? You know,
what's
sending
that?
Gary gifts in order to try to stay on this show?
No. No, well, no. I mean, the decision is yours, isn't it?
Of course
not
it is.
Not Gary's.
What's the
but
decision?
Gary, I listen to Gary's opinion.
Speaking
of
Barack Obama.
You know,
you better hope that he doesn't listen
Gary
to
Gary has a long and very, you know.
Storied radio career.
That's right.
Well, all I want to say, Fred, is that I want you to know that I have been making a concerted effort.
So what were you doing for the first year?
I wasn't
trying.
I wasn't comfortable with you guys.
But Eric, after reading the emails from last week, I'll be damned if I'm going to let you come in here and ruin this show. We have worked hard to build this show up to what it is.
Listen, I told Eric last week it was clear.
And in 1 week.
That it was me that was holding Eric back.
Is that right?
Because I went on vacation for a week. I came back last week. All of a sudden, the guy had a personality. I don't know where it came from. He's, you know, singing on the show. Well, he's introducing the show with song. He's ripping Tom. He's ripping me.
Someone.
He's ripping Andy.
Huh?
No, Fred.
He's actually fighting back.
Are you
he's talking.
And now people hate him even more, which we thought they would like him.
He's doing a little of his stand-up comedy act. We haven't even gotten to the Eric Fact of the Day yet, or whatever you call it.
Can you do a little stand-up comedy since I missed it? Please? Because I'm very intrigued by this. A lot of the stuff you do I think is stupid, but if you're a stand-up comedian, I got to hear something.
I did it for a while. I did it for about a...
So you got up in front of people, like a club.
The Comedy Connection.
He was a
province.
Natural. Had a 5-minute audition, and when he was finishing
wasn't
up,
an audition.
The
was,
owner in the back
no, wasn't
said,
an
keep
audition.
Going, you're good.
Wasn't an audition. It was actual open mic night.
Does that mean anybody can go?
No.
How
no,
many
no
times?
They book you for it. It's open mic. It's like comedians who
aren't
established.
She said, well, I'll give you a try on open mic night.
Well, that's open mic means anybody can go.
Right.
That's what I thought.
That's what the idea is.
Anybody can go,
this
but they book it.
For Eric.
They book it.
She said, I'll give you a try.
You don't just show up that
mic.
Night. You don't just show up that
right,
night and say, I want to do it.
So do some of your
stand-up. How long was
comedy
that field goal?
Please, I just want to see some of it.
Later.
Why later?
See, what
the
happens?
Show is now.
Last week you were good. Maybe it's Tom. I'm blaming it all on me, but maybe it's with Tom here. You can't be yourself.
I'm really intrigued by this. I'm not being a.
Stop telling lies. That's how you got this job in the first place, by telling lies.
You were an habitual liar.
I didn't even know what that means.
Why did he sound so bad?
Oh, Tom, your mendacity is surpassed only by your fatuity.
Wow.
What are you doing?
The best comment ever on that PFW in Progress website is the one guy who said, Eric is so pompous, I'm surprised he doesn't use a fake English accent.
I could if you want me
Fred.
To.
Kamani says, please don't let Eric host the show when you're gone. He's so damn boring. Not only is he boring, but he makes everyone around him boring. Now, don't get me wrong. I like Eric on the show. But he can only be taken in measured doses. He doesn't have the energy or
kinda
charisma
like in his
to carry a show for 2 hours like you do. Thank you. But he is also a control freak. He only reads emails that are complimentary towards
that's not
him.
True.
And to top it all off, he
you
talks
moron.
In the soft, subdued, gay, NPR type of manner. What you should
now that's
do
true.
Is play a best of PFW segment, but don't let Eric host the show when you're gone. So
that's
one of your biggest fans, too.
I was going to say, did you guys have a fight over the weekend, you and Carmani? That's very unlike him or her.
No, it's
after you cleaned each other's pipes, as Fred would put it.
No, it's weird. Some of the listeners who hated
get
me.
Get dirty first.
You just got a quick stand of attention from Gary.
TG and NJ Drop. Says.
He didn't know where you were going.
If last week is any indication of what PFW would be like after Tom Casale, well, I'm afraid it doesn't sound good.
Uh-oh.
From interns to Lori Baranski and the new Eric Scalavino, it's the biggest turn off of all. He's just awful. I like the old Eric better.
the one that didn't speak. Hey, Fred, better check your product. After all the stuff that went on this offseason, I'm surprised you guys are still on the air at all. Tom, I have to say it again. Gonna miss your input. Thanks for all your efforts to keep the football talk going. Good luck in Vegas. I'll give him year, and he'll get himself in such trouble with debt that he'll resort to making porn. What's worse, it'll be gay porn, and strippers will run his website. Seriously, Tom, please check in with the crew from time to time. It'll be good to get a call from Tom in Vegas once in a while. Now for a football question. What are the chances the team will stay out on the West Coast for the two back-to-back game series out West?
99%.
I hope they do. In a weird way, it might be good for the team. Get off the radar. You got to figure Brady will push for it. If so, where would they set up camp? I figure some college campus in Northern California. Do you guys have any idea which school would work, if at all? I guarantee you they ain't staying at any school.
Well, I'm not making that guarantee.
I don't think they'll be staying there. But
no,
it'll
but practicing.
Oh, they, yeah, right. But they'd stay they'll in a hotel. Oh, yeah, yeah.
No, but they'll have meetings and practices. Yeah.
How far
and
is Fresno State from the Bay?
I don't know, but I think they are
so
leaning towards on both trips staying there for the week. Nothing's definite, but
right.
I think they are.
Eric is right, 99% chance. And I don't know necessarily how that gets them off the radar, though.
Well,
the media is going to be out there,
right?
Just
yeah,
like
they
would be here.
Yeah.
If anything, it's going to give it like an awkwardly eventful atmosphere.
Yeah.
Rather
like
than
it's special.
Like a Super Bowl week.
Yeah. Yeah. When it's really not special. It's a game
especially
week.
The second one.
Right, what's that? San Francisco?
December, December and like Seattle and Oakland.
Oh, I think Lane Kiffin will still be there.
I don't know.
No.
Stephen Edmonton writes in, I've been a consistent listener since September 2006, but I never had a chance to email. For a while, I had a hard time putting the names with the voices because you guys talk over each other so often. Sure. I just associated the personalities with the voices. There was the senile guy who reads the emails, the pompous guy who talks most of the time and argues with the email reader, the weird guy who likes hot dogs, and the nasally guy who epitomizes my style of football fan. I could not believe
I'm the pompous guy, I think.
I don't know.
I don't really know who
you are. Yeah, you're the pompous guy that argues with me. Right. That would be you.
Well, he said talks a lot, so it's not Eric.
Oh. I could not believe
he's really the pompous guy.
I could not believe the quality of the relatively unknown web radio show I had found. Much like Fox News, it is so fair and balanced while being incredibly entertaining. It is true that Tom's style can be replaced, but the fans will not forget him. God bless Tom and his new job in Las Vegas. It is a beautiful town and away from the strip. It's a good place for a family. P.S. Welcome to the land of personality, Eric. I hope you stay on the show. Without the sheriff, PFW Progress needs the queen. Oh, now that's not right.
That email
you're so sincere
like
when you say that,
place.
Too, Fred.
Started out ripping us.
I was going to say, I couldn't tell if it was a positive or negative.
You know, we couldn't get the voices because you talk over each other, but I was surprised at the quality of the show I found. And
I'm not sure how many people would consider just like Fox Fox News a compliment.
I don't know anything about Fox News, but I don't see that as something that a lot of broadcasts are striving to be.
Well, they are number one in the ratings. So all the other ones are striving to be like
those are your ratings.
I was going to say,
in the actual Nielsen ratings.
If I put like porn on TV, that would be number one. Doesn't mean it's great.
Andy in Arrogance thinks that Eric's job was good last week. Keep it up. So there's
groundswell.
Groundswell of support for Eric.
Groundswell.
And
I thought Eric had
Dan Heffron, Dan in Fairfax
you,
says, I would rather listen to Eric interview Craig from South Carolina than watch the ESPYs. You got to love that they are so self-congratulating to name the award after their network. Very Richard Dreyfuss-like.
See, I totally agree with that. And I get the Richard Dreyfuss shot there, too. I like it.
I don't get it.
And when you got mad at me because I said that Richard Dreyfuss is really
pompous.
But how long
you don't
you
like
to hold
Richard
out
Dreyfuss?
With the ESPYs are like self-gratifying?
That's why I don't really
like
care about it.
15 years in, they're clearly going to stick.
So well, I don't care about that. I mean, ESPN's not going anywhere. I don't have anything against
ESPN.
That's
one of those, I'll show them. I won't watch their stupid award show.
Right, and I don't.
No, and there's never going to be enough people who like don't watch ESPN to hurt them. I just don't watch it because I don't like it. I don't like SportsCenter. It doesn't amuse me.
Oh, I meant the ESPYs. I don't watch because I don't like it.
Like, I like some of their shows, like their college football, their college basketball
college
stuff.
College Game Day is probably the best.
Yeah, the Baseball
show
Tonight is good. So I watch that stuff, but I'm just not interested in the SportsCenter stuff anymore. It's not like I'm thinking, I'm really going to show them, I'm going to change the world. You're never going to get enough people to do that.
Yeah, but the ESPYs have some of your favorite teams and athletes on there, so I just don't understand this political statement of...
No, certainly not a political statement on my part. I like
that. I mean, I won't watch that self-gratifying. They named
well,
it.
Well, I think the awards are stupid because they are self-gratifying.
But
I mean,
if you think the awards
really
are dumb or not, I would think as a fan, your opportunity to see
ESPN is
Kevin Garnett
your...
or Paul Pierce or Tom Brady and just see, you know, how do they handle it? What, you know, how do they hang out?
I saw Paul Pierce at UFC the other night.
Yeah, I don't really. Yeah, well, I don't have any interest.
Fight rematches on Saturday.
Yeah, did you see Silva and the Spider?
No, I didn't see that.
Pierce was there for that.
You went to a fight in
demolition.
Vegas?
No, we the guy was going to give us tickets, but it was we were already going to leave that day.
Paul
so,
Pierce, really enjoying the old championship banquet circuit.
Yeah, I think the people in Boston that were a little fearful of how Pierce was going to react to like, Garnett
7-10
and
start to next year.
They're a year late in their early in their worries because this is the year to worry about. It sounds like we won my title. Yeah. I'll see you.
Checking out. This
I'll
is
see
Paul
you guys
Pierce.
In camp.
Well,
almost like Brady.
We're hoping to fill Tom's opening.
Speak for yourself.
I wouldn't say that to Eric.
And I was waiting for someone to jump on that one.
When did you turn into Eddie Edelman?
And we have a lot of people that are going for that position. But before we get to some more of these ads that these people have produced to get my attention, Brent writes in from Illinois. First he says, thank God you're back, Fred. You keep the show on track and stop Eric from singing love songs to Paul.
Oh, shut up,
was that uncomfortable?
Shut up. You sang a love song to Paul?
He did.
Well, we started the show off last week. Well, I forget what day it was, but it was just me
Tuesday.
And Paul.
What so was the love song?
Just the two of us. By Bill Withers.
I love how he has to throw in who's by Bill Withers.
What year did it come out?
Of course, on Chrysalis Records. I was born in 1978.
Just the two of us.
But anyway,
Will Smith.
Brent notifies us that on Pro Football Talk Top. Oh, God, I can't.
There's the host y'all wanted to pass.
You got us here to be on track.
Glad to have you back, Freddie.
He says that they have noticed that there's an ad now the Herald is running on journalismjobs.com looking for a football writer for the Herald. Now,
oh, really?
I read the ad. It looks more for like an NFL guy rather than
a Patriots beat guy. It's the job that I was up for 2 years ago, 3 years ago now.
So is Tomasi leaving?
No, he's going to be doing the Red Sox.
They lost
so he's off. The he's leaving the beat.
Well, they lost their Red Sox guy.
Rob Bradford went to
so they need a Red Sox guy.
So he's conveniently... off the Patriots beat.
I will find out, but that's going to be
are
my
you
guess.
Guys,
yes.
That doesn't surprise me.
No.
I don't know.
I think that's the only thing they could do, really.
Well, I'll tell you,
it was really
if Rob Bradford didn't leave, this would not. He would not be moving off the Patriots beat.
You don't think so?
It
would have been really awkward,
that for a fact.
I mean...
All right, well, that's one job that the Herald's trying to fill, and, of course, we're trying to fill Tom's job.
And they also lost Felger, by the way.
Yeah, that's true. He's writing for EEI now?
WEEI.com.
That makes no sense. All right.
Executive Director of New Media. They're starting websites and putting content on it? Who the hell thinks that's a good idea?
Now, someone named Mike Parenti has an ad for
Casale's leaving. Somebody has to pick up the slack. And Mike Parenti is the candidate to pick up the slack, I guess. You hate the Cowboys and Casale loves them. Guess what? Parenti's a Yankee fan. Enough said. He's filled in for John Rook on that show that's on after this one. He dresses nice on game day and introduced Andy Hart to the Urban Dictionary. If you think those aren't the right qualifications for the next co-host of PFW in Progress, well, you're probably right. But he's on the list, and we had to make a promo to direct you to PFWinProgress.com to vote for the next co-host when Tom heads to Thailand.
It's actually pronounced Phuket.
I'm Michael Parenti, and I approve this message.
Oh, yeah. Don't forget to buy us lunch.
All right. Okay, so I have a question for you guys. You know, when I came here, I lied and said that I was a Patriots fan. And then, you know, I was obviously a Cowboys fan. But, people hate the Cowboys, but they never really did anything to the Patriots. Now, Parenti is a Giants fan. So if he got the job, how do you think people are going to react to that?
It'll be good. It'll be a good dynamic. I think any of those little extra parts of the show or characters are good to have. Especially coming, I mean, it would be irrelevant 5 years ago, but
I was going to say, with the Giants beating
the
Patriots.
It'll add a little venom to the relationship he has with the fans.
He'll have a lot of that.
He has venom with the fans?
He will, if he's here.
I said the relationship he has with the fans.
Yeah, I think the fans might have some venom to a Giants fan.
And he'll
Wouldn't
have
you?
Some venom immediately. Because when anybody pops off to him, he pops back.
He's
out.
Okay, we'll get to some others. I think Brian Lowe is bucking for the job as
you're
well
love
as Christina Akra.
He's bucking for a job.
So we'll get to those in a little bit. Michael from Texas has a question. He says, where do the Pats stay during training camp? Do they get bused to and from practice? Do they eat together? And where is that? And what is a player's typical schedule during training camp? Well, they do stay together at a hotel during training camp. They're required to do that. It's not an option.
Early on.
But they have a shuttle, but players mostly drive themselves back and forth.
Right. Mostly the rookies ride those vans or guys that aren't set up
they're
yet.
Provided 3 square meals a day here at camp, plus all the snacks they can eat. They have their own little cafeteria here in Gillette Stadium, so they can eat all their meals here at camp. They even have a place where between practices they can in classroom they can lie down and take a nap.
They also have a place where they can play video games and watch TV.
So the idea is they want to keep them here as long, as much as possible and give them every reason to stay here and provide everything they need here. And then at the end of the day, they drive themselves back to the hotel. So that's what happens.
It's as close to
a
one-stop college atmosphere as you can get without actually forcing them to live in dorms and be on a
college campus. Yeah, and their day is made up of practice. Rehabbing for any minor injuries that they had during the day, going to classroom and film study, going over what they just practiced, installing new things for the later practice or for the next day. So it's a whole day thing between eating, classroom, practice, and in the training room.
I can't even imagine it because we get tired and we don't really do anything.
Right.
I just those guys who go nonstop all day, they must be dead.
Did you guys see Peter King at all yesterday, the Monday morning quarterback? He was in that. He was talking about the training camps and all the places he was going. And he was I thought it was funny as a media guy, but he was mentioning that he likes to go to the college campuses because you never know what you're going to see at a college campus. You can be walking around and, he used Pittsburgh as an example. You can, have – like Hines Ward and Joe Green walk by you at, say, 9 o'clock at night on a walking around a college campus. But then he went on to explain how it's amazing how many conversations he's had with people, just kind of like you bump into someone after dinner or whatever, and I'm thinking to myself, this is a media guy, and he just kind of like wanders around a college campus unattended. I mean, that we didn't have that at Bryant. When the Patriots training camp was there, now we actually, when we used to stay there, we had that opportunity. And Andy, you did that, I think, as a PR guy, didn't you?
And I believe, I don't know about the
but
staying.
Media guys were in that media center. There was areas of Bryant they were not allowed to go. Right. Evidently,
wigs.
Peter King just walks anywhere he wants.
The big wigs, even at Bryant, I believe Stacy in the media relations department would bring the big wigs into dinner.
And I know
you know how there was like
the nuts.
Yep. There was two different cafeterias.
Oh yeah, the good calf and
the big wigs got brought into the.
We had another name for the other calf.
Crap calf. I don't remember what it was.
The crap ass calf. Because
it was a different. That one sucked, and then the other one you had like
you guys
the good
so
humor
spoiled.
Man.
If
you
someone's
had
giving
treats.
Me free food, it's good.
Do you know?
Oh my God, you bitch every time we go to the press box. You
I don't.
You eat it, but you bitch.
I don't.
They don't know their audience. They're missing their crowd.
All I can say is they don't have to give us such fancy food. They could give us hot dogs and cold cuts,
right.
And we would be just
and that's
as happy.
What we all say.
But I'm not saying
you
the food's
like
bad.
The rest of us.
I like the food.
We need Tom with this
I'm
video
just saying,
camera all the time.
I'm just saying they don't need
document
to,
Fred Kirsch's fraudulent
they
behavior.
They don't need to go overboard
but
like
Fred,
they
you're
do
always
for
complaining
us.
Right. About
but
the food.
My no, point wasn't
you like
about
the chowder, but you hate the food.
Yeah. I love anything free that I can eat, I like.
The point the point that I was trying to make
I didn't
wasn't
say anyone,
about the quality
I said anything.
Of food.
What?
The point I was making wasn't about the quality of food. However, I think you're being disingenuous about that.
Fraud Kirsch.
But the point I was making was, like Andy says, there were the different rules for those guys. Yeah, it's easy for Peter King to say you really should try to, take in one of these training camps that are open to the public, and you never know. Well, you have the access to meet guys. Joe Smith off the street can't go walking around some player's dining area and bump into Joe Green. It can't happen. It can't even happen if you're a regular beat guy.
Peter King is treated like Peter King no matter where he
and
goes.
And I'm not – look, this is not to complain that he gets access, to, but I'm just saying he's promoting this on his website like anybody can do it.
Right.
You can do it because you're Peter King. I thought that was funny. It was just kind of like forgetting about the fact that he has this special access.
Right.
Joel in Merrimack says, this is in response to the moron who said that Fox News was fair and balanced. Oh, my God.
I was waiting for that.
From what POV do you consider, or point of view, do you consider that fair? I don't know these texting abbreviations.
Once I don't again. Either, but I could figure
you
that one
the
out.
Oh my God, one, Fred.
Director
from what
of new
point
media.
Of view do you consider them fair and or balanced? I suppose if you are Bill O'Reilly or Ann Coulter or the newest conservative idiot Glenn Beck, then the former is probably a true statement. But to call them fair and balanced is like calling Eric down to earth. Quick football question. Don't know if you talked about this.
Probably not. Of us.
But what do you think about Peter King's thoughts about Favre going to Miami?
I want Favre to go away.
Did he have something today, Peter King?
I don't know.
Because he didn't have anything about that yesterday.
I don't understand that. I don't get it. Why would you want to go to Miami? I don't get what he's doing.
I don't think he would go to Miami, and I don't think Miami wants him.
Well, I heard the latest now is that he's going to stay retired.
Right, and the report was that the Packers had offered him four teams or something that they would trade him to. And my guess is it was like the Falcons, the Dolphins,
Raiders,
whoever the top four teams picking in the draft were. It was those teams because they say, we're not going to get screwed. We're not losing a Super Bowl because you go play for some contender and beat up.
But, I think Favre, let's face it, Favre is an NFL legend. But I think he realizes now he's really killing himself. There's a minor league baseball team now that had flip-flop night.
That was good.
And, one night.
They retired his number, or they're going to retire his number that game night and then unretire it the next night in the ceremony.
And when you're an NFL and minor league baseball teams are making fun of you, know that this isn't good.
And I give Ted Thompson credit. He basically said, come on back. You make a hell of a backup.
Right.
Did he say that?
Well, not in those words, but he said if he wants to come back, we'd love to have him as a backup. I think that's the right stance to take.
But even worse, Fred, than them having a night to make fun of him, because minor league baseball teams do that all the time with whatever the topic of the moment is. But part of the night was also they were going to have contests for fans to reenact the Michael Strahan, Brett Favre sack performance. So it's digging up old dirt, too. It's only a matter of time before retirement gets tied into his drug history.
I was going to say Vicodin.
Like, it's stirring up all the garbage from his past. So I think he might realize that it might just be easier to go away.
And I like how he's turned it to, the Packers really didn't want me, blah, blah, blah. The last 2 years, you've held the organization hostage.
And that's my point. They probably forced him into a decision this March. They wouldn't have forced you into a decision if the previous 2 years you hadn't waffled back and forth about retiring and hang them over a barrel.
Yeah, I mean, the Favre thing, it's unfortunate now because it doesn't matter what he does. He has damaged himself.
It's part of
he has
the history,
damaged his
the
reputation.
Legacy,
people are going to remember that whole circus that he put everybody through, in the offseason just before training camp.
He'll do less damage, though, if he stays retired and doesn't come back and doesn't do like a Joe Montana thing and go to the Chiefs and waste a year or two.
Well, Montana went to the AFC Championship.
I don't think I was going to say, I don't think Montana did anything to cheapen his legacy. He went on and he excelled in Kansas City for 2 years.
Bad example for that one. But
and I think if Favre went somewhere and played well, it wouldn't do anything to hurt him either.
I agree.
But it would have played out differently.
But if he's going to like a Miami,
did Favre? I mean, did Montana retire and have this whole circus?
No.
If Favre
they
had said,
"Sam Fran didn't want him,"
if Favre had said in March, "I'm going to play. If you want Rodgers to play, then just trade me before the draft and go a different direction."
No, he's
that would have been
said.
A totally different.
But that's what I started with. I said, no matter what happens now, he's damaged his legacy. He's damaged his reputation. But what I'm saying, but not because of playing. I don't think he can damage anymore unless he goes out and has another 30 interception season like he did 3 years.
Well,
which is possible.
Let's go. Man, what's going on in the NFL? Everyone's on Brett Favre. T.O. is saving people. It's like it's all flipped upside
down. NFL.
We need to take a break, but before we do, we have some sad news. I guess you were wondering what happened to Craig in South Carolina last week. Maybe was that some of the
few weeks?
Last few weeks.
Steve in Winchester found this on the internet. Local boy burnt up. Comes out of Pig Squeal, South Carolina. Craig Bunce, a 59, longtime resident of Pig Squeal, South Carolina, passed away sometime in February, according to Deliverance County Medical Examiner Ron Porkribs. The body of Craig and brother Greg were discovered by hikers Thursday. Dr. Porkribs suggested that the brothers perished in a tragic accident. Charred bones were scattered over a field behind the elder brothers lean-to, apparently the result of several weeks of opossums feeding on the roasted remains. The accident apparently was caused by an out-of-control bonfire. The medical examiner noted the soiled and burned pile of cast-off New England Patriots apparel in Mr. Bunce's backyard. The examiner commented, it appears something set off old Craig sometime in February, and the boy come out back and try to burn a large pile of football clothing near everything he owned. We don't know how the brother got involved. I'm not going to rule out murder-suicide just yet. In lieu of flowers, the family requests donations in the name of Eric Scalavino Internet Dating Foundation. So that's...
Fred, that was a nice voice you used there.
Like that one. Came and went midway.
I realized, oh, I can do a voice. All right, we're going to go take a break. We'll be right back.
They'll talk about just about anything on PFW in Progress, and Andy's getting sick of it.
Okay, that does it. Now listen, why is it that everything today has involved things either going in or coming out of my ass?
Patriots.com Radio. Patriot Place, New England's first and only super regional lifestyle and entertainment center, is now open right next to Gillette Stadium in Foxborough, Massachusetts. The home of the New England Patriots and the New England Revolution is now the home of New England's most exciting entertainment and shopping destination, featuring Circuit City, Bed Bath & Beyond, Christmas tree shops, Off-Broadway shoes, Staples, and New England's first Bass Pro Shops. Patriot Place has something for your shopping needs. And coming soon to Patriot Place is the first CBS Scene restaurant and bar, a four-star hotel, showcase live entertainment venue, and the long-awaited hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon. Patriot Place will soon be the home to more than 70 shopping, entertainment, and dining experiences unlike any other in New England. Visit patriot-place.com for more information and enter the grand opening sweepstakes for the opportunity to win a $10,000 Visa gift card for a Patriot Place shopping spree. A once-in-a-lifetime experience every day. At Patriot Place, everyone wins.
15-10-5, touchdown, Patriots.
50 touchdown passes.
Tom Brady.
23 touchdown receptions.
Touchdown, Randy Moss.
75 total touchdowns.
One play, they both set NFL records.
Tom Brady, Randy Moss, and the New England Patriots broke records that may never be broken. Commemorate these accomplishments and more with a free limited edition record-breaking print directly from the New England Patriots. And if you thought setting records was good, how about having your exclusive print signed by Lawrence Maroney?
Oh, baby.
All you need to do is make a qualifying purchase for the Patriots Extra Points Visa card. Patriots Extra Points are redeemable for once-in-a-lifetime Patriots experiences, autographed memorabilia, tickets, merchandise, and more. Log on to Patriots Extra Points.com or call 1-800-NFL-9929 to get your Bank of America Patriots Extra Points Visa card and free 2007 season print signed by Lawrence Maroney.
He's gonna go the distance. 20, 15, 10, 5, Lawrence Maroney.
Patriots Extra Points, because fans want contact too. Autograph poster limited to the first 300 with qualifying purchase. See details at PatriotsExtraPoints.com. The New England Revolution are taking on the best teams and the best players in MLS, and you can be there. The Revolution 4-game supporters pack is the ticket to the best matches of the summer. Be there when the Revolution take on Cuauhtemoc Blanco and the Chicago Fire, Juan Pablo Angel and the New York Red Bulls, Ante Razov and Chivas USA, and David Beckham and the Los Angeles Galaxy. It sold out last year. Don't get shut out. Order the 4-game supporters pack to guarantee you're in the building for the best matches of the season. 4-packs start at just $64. Order now and get a Revolution supporter scarf free. Ticket packages and individual game tickets for the entire season are still available. Call the Revolution ticket office at 1-877-GET-REBS. Ticketmaster at 617-931-2222 or log on to revolutionsoccer.net for tickets, game information, and everything else New England Revolution.
What a goal! Taylor Twellman!
Pride.
The sellout crowd in Foxborough rises to that beat.
Passion.
Oh my goodness! Michael Parkhurst! Are you kidding me?
Revolution. Paul Perillo prides himself on being the old-timer of the PFW crew.
Going back to the 40s with Paul.
Well, let's face it, it's actually Andy who makes fun of Paul for being an old-timer. But just because he was born in the 40s or something, it doesn't exactly mean Paul has all the answers. In fact, it seems like just about everything Paul's come up with, he didn't come up with. What were you going to say, Paul?
Even, like,
I was going to say he's rated the way he should be, too. I don't think he's considered a great coach.
I don't think that's the case.
I was going to say, I read something.
Someone in the AFC East drafts Dan Connor.
I was going to say, what number was Dan Connor? Was that 45? Well, this is what I was going to say, just on this topic.
Now we're asking follow-up questions.
I was going to say, first Tom forgets to say yes, and now you're asking follow-up.
I agree with that wholeheartedly.
That's the way, I was going to say, that's probably our mission statement right there.
He's never handled a single issue well.
I was going to say, you know why it is.
What's the matter, Paul?
No, I was going to say it was before 85. So.
Right. Goodell's starting to get on my nerves.
I was going to say, as much as I really like and respect what Goodell has done so far, car, that would really bother me.
So the nannies are really having
I was going to say, you're really there to witness it.
Straightaway speed.
No, I was going to say that, but I didn't even know.
Jeez, Paul, what do you know? We're not sure if you ever had an original thought, and even that your catchphrases might be stolen. Right, Eddie Mac?
Maybe I just drink to get drunk.
That was the best one yet. That,
oh, God.
You got Eddie in here, huh?
Oh, that's
great.
That is tremendous.
Oh, that was awesome.
Maybe I just drink to get drunk.
Oh, that's great. Eddie Mac.
That was a little Eddie Mac, Ralph Wilson.
Long-time AV guy here. What is it, about 100? He's been here since Foxborough Stadium was Sullivan Stadium. And in the old stadium, you know, when we before remotes, if you needed the TV, you know, change, he'd have a broomstick handle, literally, and he would poke the on-off button on the
TV.
Maybe
I just drink to get drunk.
But, that's great. All right, we're back, obviously. PFW in progress. The email is webradio@patriots.com, 508-543-7482. Now, as promised earlier, we have someone from the Revs. His name is Craig Tornberg. He's GM of the
Revs. We're going streaking through the quad!
General manager of the Revs, and there was this incident over the weekend on an airplane that, Craig, you were intimately involved in. And it made national news.
Intimately? I'd rather not say intimately involved under the circumstances.
Craig, when there was a naked manner.
Craig, run us through what happened on this thing and you know, your involvement in it.
Well, first of all, thanks a lot for having me.
Oh, and by the way, that Revs commercial, we didn't just play that because you were here. We always play those.
That's
we love the Revs around here. We're big on the Revs.
I appreciate that, and I'm wondering why you're watching Telefuturo over here.
Oh, we always watch.
You have to wonder.
You have to wonder. Oh my goodness.
You know I don't speak Spanish.
Well, in either case, we boarded a flight. We were on our way directly nonstop from. From Boston to Los Angeles, we had our Super Liga match against Chivas USA.
Which you won.
Which we tied, passed us through.
But you're
to
in the semifinals.
You're in the
semifinals.
You're in the money, right?
That's what we needed to do.
Right.
We're in the money. We're in the money.
Right.
And about 2 hours into the flight, this gentleman, and I guess in this case I'll use the term a little bit loosely, went to the men's room. The men's
nice
room
package.
Was right. The men's room is going to be a lot harder than talking to the media, isn't it?
Oh yeah.
It's we went directly to he went into the bathroom and the latrine was in front. I was in a bulkhead area, a bulkhead seat, and when he came out, he was completely naked.
Completely naked?
Completely naked. And
wow.
He went prancing down the aisle
about
three rows behind me and parked himself back at the seat that he was staying in. And I had noticed him a little earlier. He was acting a little strange, just looking a little strange, but that was as strange as he could possibly look at that point. So behind me was our VP of player personnel, Mike Burns. Mike was laughing like crazy. And he had his iPod. He was listening to his iPod at the time and just laughing. And I didn't know what to think, seriously. And
right.
Turned to Michael and said, Michael, take off your earphones, take out an earphone, and he takes it out real quickly. And I said, I'm going to confront this guy, and I might need you. So hang in there for me. So
now, you felt, you know, the urge to confront this guy. It was
at that point,
a lot of people would be like, I'm not getting involved in this.
That went through my mind, too.
Yeah.
You know, and there's probably about a 10-second time lapse that I'm talking about. And during that 10 seconds, you literally think about 50,000 things. Now you know what a nanosecond is because there are about 50,000 thoughts that go through your mind. Don't get involved. Wait for the flight attendant. Get involved. Kids on the flight. Women on the flight. You know, there's just a whole bunch of things that go through your mind, and it all happens so quickly.
And was he silent at this? Like, did he say anything? Was he doing it?
Didn't say
just
a word.
Silent. Just walked and sat down.
Sat down at the seat.
Anybody sitting next to him?
Not at all. There were three across, and he was in a row by himself, thank goodness. And I went over to went over to his seat, and
asked for his phone number?
Was he happy to see you?
I'm just trying to think of if I should say it and take out some of the choice words that I said.
But oh, you were
essentially,
mad.
Essentially,
you were upset.
Rodney's second ball
looks every bit as majestic as the first.
I said, go back to the bathroom and put your clothes on with a few more expletives in the sentence.
Right.
So he looked at me and then looked straight ahead and he said, I don't hear you. I don't see anything.
And had he been drinking or something on the flight?
You really have to get Taylor Twellman under wraps. This is getting ridiculous.
So I knew he was definitely way out there at this point, and I had no idea if – I don't think he was drinking. He was pretty much just sitting in the seat when I had seen him. But, again, I can't account for his entire 2 hours up until that point. So I went and got a flight attendant, and I said, you know, there's a gentleman up front, and he's naked in the row. And the flight attendant – you know, you think about it in retrospect, and you think about some of the ironies and some of the funny things that have taken place. If there was a funny thing, he said to me – well, can you point him out to me? Not that there were that
many.
He's next
to the guy with the hair on fire.
I think he could point himself out at that point.
Not that there were that many naked guys on his flight at that point that were sitting in the rows. But he follows me forward, and I kind of point to the row just before we get there, and I continue on to my seat and sit down. I was only a couple of rows in front of him and over to the diagonal side. And he continued to pass and got a senior flight attendant, the purser in the front. They talked for a minute or two, came back, and asked me if they could borrow my blanket. I said, by all means.
Yeah.
Went back there, and I really thought my involvement at that point was finished. I thought our team's involvement was completely finished. And they put a blanket on the guy. At that time, he had laid down across the three seats.
Oh, boy.
Still butt naked. And
what was playing on the movie?
there was no movie. This was all live and interactive.
Okay.
He put the blanket over the guy, and they started talking to him. And he was acting a little strange, you know, like, what? What's the problem? And that sort of thing. But though he really wasn't saying that, he was saying some mighty strange things. And I was asking Burns all the time, like, what did he say? What did he say? And Burns could hear him a little bit more and said things like, the miracle is coming soon, and those sort of things. So... We
is that what they call it nowadays?
Just kind of watched a bit and let him kind of the flight attendants take care of the situation at hand. At the end of 5 minutes, maybe 3 minutes, they convinced him to go into the bathroom and put on his clothes, and that's where he had left his clothes. He left the blanket, my blanket, back in his seat, ran to the bathroom again, totally naked, went by me, and went into the bathroom, put on his clothes, and kind of pranced back with his clothes on. We, again, thought it was all over. During the next 5, 10, 15 minutes, there were a lot of conversations that happened, especially myself, because people were saying, was he really naked, and this sort of thing. A lot of our players were asking. Yeah. A lot of our coaches
the whole squad was on the
– most of them were in the back, but by and large, some had seen, some didn't see. They were playing video games. They were watching their computer movies. They were sleeping. A lot of the other passengers started talking to me. So there's a little bit of time that goes by. I'm talking also to the flight attendants. Maybe it's worthwhile to check his carry-on, see if there's anything else going on. I hope we're not diverting the flight, so let's keep going to L.A. Let's see if we can, you know. And they felt it was under pretty good control. Probably 10 minutes or so go by, 15 minutes, and or so it seems. It's hard to tell a particular time frame under these kind of conditions, but I'm talking to somebody at the back of first class and kind of looking out into the coach area and just having a conversation about what happened, and she was, again, comparing notes to me, just another passenger. And I saw this flash of green, which was the shirt that this gentleman was wearing. He jumps out of his seat, and he starts prancing back towards the bathroom. But instead of going to the bathroom, he cuts back to the left towards the exit door that I was sitting next to. And I had left my seat where my work was and just bolted for the door. And at that second...
And you're up in the air. You're 30,000 feet.
Oh, we are 35,000 feet up in the air at cruising altitude, as they say. And... he starts going for the door and grabbing the handle and start trying to get out. And we just immediately reacted. I can't tell you 100% who else reacted with me, but I know from talking to Mike, he was involved. I know talking to Gwen Williams, our assistant coach, was involved. But I just grabbed the guy's arms and just started to pull him away from the door. That's all you can think about doing at that point. And
now, was the plane going back and forth when this is happening?
I wish it was that dramatic, but the pilot
music
actually...
Music playing in the background.
Just became Die Hard.
I don't know if we pushed him towards the seat again or he ran just because we scared him. But somehow or another, we got him back to his seat. And, you know, I was yelling and screaming at the guy after he was down in the seat, and he kind of cowered a bit. And that was really
Was he a big guy?
Well, I'm about 5'9". He was probably an inch or two bigger than me, so it seemed. And probably
you're talking about height, right?
Height now. That's correct.
Oh.
And about 175.
How did you keep him so good for the rest of the flight?
Hopefully
cuffs. They have those what do you call it? The zip tie handcuffs. I'm yelling and screaming at the guy, trying to keep him under control at this point, back at his seat. And the guy, I look over to the left, and the flight attendant's got these little zips, you know, that he's coming with. So right away, I knew that that's what he wanted to do. And he even said to me, listen, we got to try to get these on the guy. And we thought it was going to be perhaps there could be some violence at coming on again, trying to get these on. He was pretty compliant. He was very compliant, as a matter of fact. They talked to him a little bit. He put his arms behind his back. They zipped on those handcuffs, those ready-made handcuffs. They asked him if is this all right? Are we hurting you? He was pretty compliant. He
didn't have his clothes
fine.
On still at that point?
No, he had his clothes. He had his clothes on. Then the flight attendant asked if I could help with the seatbelt. I probably wasn't quite as gentle as the flight attendant was because I made sure he was pretty well strapped in because I really was done for the day. I wanted to think about our soccer match, not this anymore. We got diverted into Oklahoma City. Filled out some statements because, as they said, if he got to the emergency door, if you touched him at that point, we need statements. And I think, by and large, it was pretty well contained.
Well, that was the FBI.
There was no air marshal apparently on board. I had said that to Mike after the first incident, the nudity. I said, well, I guess there's no air marshal on this flight.
Well, that's a typical Revs flight, the nudity, right? No? Oh, okay.
But that's it. We filled out the forms. We got back up into the air, and I thought it was all done. I thought it was all finished. And there was even a reporter who was on somebody's cell phone, had called somebody's cell, gave it to us, said, you guys should talk, because they want to talk to somebody who was involved. And I looked at him and said, he didn't call for me. I'm done with this. You know, this is all behind us. Let's just go think about our match in 2 days. And when we walked off the plane in Los Angeles, there were literally 25 cameras in our faces down at the baggage.
Well, you know, I don't know if you know this, but one of my current interns went to high school with this guy. Did you know that?
Didn't know at all. Maybe he knows more about him than I do.
He was always a quiet guy.
As they usually are, right?
So, well, welcome back. Thank goodness you were there. Otherwise, this guy might have been... I mean, if he had opened that door, that's
Is that physically possible? Did they tell you that?
No, it's not physically possible. It's really I had heard after the fact that it's a one. It just doesn't open at 35,000 feet. Now that doesn't mean that it's not a federal offense to do so and to attempt to. However,
you didn't know, right?
I had no idea. And
you don't take
chances,
right? Exactly.
And on the one out of million, like one reporter said, this will be the one time out of a million. My luck, we all get sucked out.
Right.
But at 7,000 or 5,000. Feet it does. So we're actually fortunate that he did. If he did make a break for it, if we were coming down for a landing, then we very definitely could have.
So you had to get this guy restrained.
At that point,
So now are you thinking about charter flights from now on for the team?
We'd love to. You know, unfortunately, at this point, there's a lot of rules in our league, and they don't permit certain numbers of charter flights. They only permit a certain number, and it's a very small number of charter flights. As the league progresses, I'm sure we're only 13 years in.
Maybe
there was a
help.
Day that I think...
Maybe this will help
get
that
exactly.
Now, was he a Revs fan? Did you get that out of him? No?
We never had that kind of a conversation. Although
sit down and chat after he was cuffed?
Yeah. Maybe he was talking the miracle could happen soon, might be a championship for a change for me. Well, I mean, after four losses as GM in the finals in this club, I think I could use one of those.
Now, this certainly made headlines, and, you know, any headlines good for the Revs. We want to keep in the – so can we do this on a train next week maybe and then maybe on a boat?
Just, you know, you can wear a cape next time.
We keep staging these things and we'll –
one of the I've gotten emails from everywhere, and just people that I know from Central America, from down in South America, from over in Australia. It's been covered far more than we ever thought, and probably far more than it even deserves. But there was the funniest thing I got is somebody superimposed my face into a movie poster, Passenger 57.
All right. Well, Craig Tornberg, general manager of the New England Revolution, thank you for coming in. Our
My
listeners
pleasure.
Appreciate, you know, getting the firsthand account of what they all heard and read about this weekend. So we're going to take a break, and we'll be right back.
The New England Revolution are taking on the best teams and the best players in MLS, and you can be there. The Revolution 4-game supporters pack is the ticket to the best matches of the summer. Be there when the Revolution take on Cuauhtemoc Blanco and the Chicago Fire, Juan Pablo Angel and the New York Red Bulls, Ante Razov and Chivas USA, and David Beckham and the Los Angeles Galaxy. It sold out last year. Don't get shut out. Order the 4-game supporters pack to guarantee you're in the building for the best matches of the season. 4-packs start at just $64. Order now and get a Revolution supporter scarf free. Ticket packages and individual game tickets for the entire season are still available. Call the Revolution ticket office at 1-877-GET-REVS, Ticketmaster at 617-931-2222, or log on to revolutionsoccer.net for tickets, game information, and everything else New England Revolution.
What a goal! Taylor Twellman!
Pride.
The sellout crowd in Foxborough rises to their feet.
Passion.
Oh my goodness! Michael Parkhurst, are you kidding me?
Revolution. Patriot Place, New England's first and only super regional lifestyle and entertainment center, is now open right next to Gillette Stadium in Foxborough, Massachusetts. The home of the New England Patriots and the New England Revolution is now the home of New England's most exciting entertainment and shopping destination, featuring Circuit City, Bed Bath & Beyond, Christmas tree shops, Off-Broadway shoes, Staples, and New England's first Bass Pro Shops. Patriot Place has something for your shopping needs. And coming soon to Patriot Place is the first CBS Scene restaurant and bar, a four-star hotel, showcase live entertainment venue, and long-awaited hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon. Patriot Place will soon be the home to more than 70 shopping, entertainment, and dining experiences unlike any other in New England. Visit patriot-place.com for more information and enter the grand opening sweepstakes for the opportunity to win a $10,000 Visa gift card for a Patriot Place shopping spree. A once-in-a-lifetime experience every day. At Patriot Place, everyone wins.
15-10-5, touchdown, Patriots.
50 touchdown passes.
Tom Brady.
23 touchdown receptions.
Touchdown, Randy Moss.
75 total touchdowns.
One play, they both set NFL records.
Tom Brady, Randy Moss, and the New England Patriots broke records that may never be broken. Commemorate these accomplishments and more with a free limited edition record-breaking print directly from the New England Patriots. And if you thought setting records was good, how about having your exclusive print signed by Lawrence Maroney?
Oh, baby.
All you need to do is make a qualifying purchase with a Patriots Extra Points Visa card. Patriots Extra Points are redeemable for once-in-a-lifetime Patriots experiences, autographed memorabilia, tickets, merchandise, and more. Log on to PatriotsExtraPoints.com or call 1-800-NFL-9929 to get your Bank of America Patriots Extra Points Visa card and free 2007 season print signed by Lawrence Maroney.
He's going to go the distance. 20, 15, 10, 5, Lawrence Maroney.
Patriots Extra Points, because fans want contact too. Autograph poster limited to the first 300 with qualifying purchase. See details at PatriotsExtraPoints.com.
When you got a lineman-sized hunger and want the awesome, authentic taste of Gillette Stadium at your tailgate or right at home, tackle that appetite with Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Try Sack Attack sausages, First Down Franks, or Patriots brats in a wide variety of flavors at home, at the stadium, or at the game. And get your crowd cheering for Gridiron Grillers. They're great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are all you'll need for the perfect tailgate or home barbecue. Check out all of the Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Miles and hot Sack Attack sausages, Patriots cheese brats and beer brats, First Down Franks, and more. Patriots Gridiron Grillers go great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are available at Big Y, Demoulas Market Basket, Hannaford, Johnny's Foodmaster, Roach Brothers Sudbury Farm, Shaw's, and Stop and Shop, and distributed by Agar, Associated Grocers of Maine, and Associate Grocers of New England, and CNS Wholesale. Patriots Gridiron Grillers, when you just can't wait for Sunday.
Eric's had a tough time opening up on PFW in Progress. They begged and pleaded and still nothing. Come on, Eric.
No, not in the last 2 days, no.
No.
I was not talking about that.
I don't care.
No, I'm not talking about this.
We're wondering if it's just on the radio or if it's the same deal upstairs. We've placed our hidden microphones in Eric's cube to get the scoop. Let's listen in.
Hey, Eric, I'm going to grab lunch. You want anything?
Sorry, no. I'm not talking about it.
Hey, Eric, do you know what Belichick's press conference is?
Don't worry about that. We're not going into that territory.
Hey, Eric, my internet seems to be down. Is yours working?
There's a moratorium on that issue.
Hey, did you watch the Idol final? I can't believe David Cook won.
No.
Hey, Eric, how's it going?
I'm not doing it with you, no.
Hey, Eric, did you do the blitz today?
I said too much. That part I'm not going to talk about.
Eric, $4.09 a gallon. Can you believe these gas prices?
Enough, both of you. Enough.
Hey, Eric, make sure you tell your friends to check out the new edition of Patriots Today.
What the hell are you doing?
Oh, my God, Eric, he's choking. Do the Heimlich maneuver.
No. No, not at all.
Thank you for calling Gillette Stadium. How may I direct your call? All right, Eric, take it easy. Have a good night.
No, I'd have to say no.
Whoa, well, all right, Eric. We'll see what happens on the next show.
We'll see you next Tuesday.
Why do we have to go on the air and make a big deal about it?
All right.
Oh, Gary, good job.
That's great.
No. I especially love the both of you.
That's really good.
Both of you
who was that to?
Christina.
Yeah, but who were you talking to if it was two of them?
That's my point. Oh, you're...
No, I didn't mean it like that.
All right, so...
I did mean it like that.
Craig Tornberg was
you guys shut up.
Nice enough to join us and give us a first-hand account. I thought that might be interesting for the fans.
And you were wrong.
Yeah. Doug Flutie's got nothing on that guy.
Oh.
Well,
wow.
He's barely out the second door from the studio. Brent from Illinois says, forget Rook's show. After hearing about the naked man on the rest flight, I'm sure Eric has already put his transfer in to move to the soccer team. One quick question. Do you know what the alternate jerseys are going to be this year? Are they the silver ones or the old red ones?
No.
Can you elaborate?
There will not be an alternate jersey.
There is no alternate jersey this year.
But the future is bright and it's red.
Right. Next year, they will be red.
And I hope they don't screw this up because I am really intrigued by that possibility. Because I think finally the Patriots will have one of those jerseys like I rave about, the Dolphins and those other teams that look great in HD.
Okay.
Those reds should
Allison
really pop.
Casale from Foxborough writes in, just listening to the story about what happened to the Revolution over the weekend,
and I think
asleep. Your listeners would love to hear what happened to Tom over the weekend and his flight back to Boston. We had a little stripping ourselves.
Whoa. Yeah, you know my luck. We get on the plane. We left late at night, and this fat lady comes barreling down, drunk as a skunk, and just plops right down next to me. You know, she's passed out within 2 minutes, just sprawled all over the place. She keeps hitting me, and I'm like, you know, God, I hate this because I hate people. And so she gets up, she's all hot, she's like waving at herself, and all of a sudden she puts her head forward into the seat in front of her, takes her shirt, and pulls it over her head. So her fat rolls are hanging out.
Oh, my God.
And like her big breasts are all – and I tap Allison, and I'm like, what the – and she goes, tell a stewardess. So I got the stewardess' attention, and she goes, yeah, and I pointed, and she goes, oh, dear. She goes, ma'am, you're going to have to put your shirt back on. So the lady turns to us and goes, sorry, I was hot. Well, I'm hot, too, but I'm not stripping down.
Oh.
And she was, you know, and the thing is, when we were waiting to get on the plane, there was this model who like models like tanning stuff, you know, gorgeous. Now, she couldn't sit next to me and take her top off. It had to be the fat pig, the fat drunk pig who did it.
Oh, my God. All right. Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. 508-543-7482 is the phone number. Right now they're doing a striptease on the Latin channel. That's unbelievable.
Escándalo.
Yeah. We should do more of that on Patriots Today, I think. Speaking of that, Christina Acra is looking for work. And what? Oh, yeah. Okay, Gary's holding up her name. She wants to work for PFW, and she's made an ad. Let's hear it.
Education. Experience. A winning attitude. That's how you replace Tom Casale. And Christina Acra brings that and more as the next co-host of PFW in Progress. She's a graduate of the University of Florida with a degree in broadcasting. She's taken her reps interviewing players
and after coming aboard in 2007, the team didn't lose a game all year. Except for that one game in February. Whatever. You want these attributes in your new candidate. You need these attributes in your new candidate. You... Ah, screw it. It's Christina Acra. Hello? Log on to PFWInProgress.com to vote for the new co-host of PFW in Progress. Sure, the vote won't actually mean anything, but you can always find out how to buy lunch for the boys and maybe the girl.
I'm Christina Acra, and I approve this message.
Oh, all yeah, right. So do I.
Oh, she has my vote.
Me too.
Yeah, I'm in.
Absolutely.
I approve.
Count me in.
Jackpot.
You betcha.
Okay, well, Christina and her fans. People really went to great lengths with these political ads.
Yeah.
Hey, no fooling around.
You know what I was thinking of? Instead of that guy coming down here and telling us the story that we all knew, why didn't you bring the intern down so he could talk about knowing that guy and what he was like? Wouldn't that have been more interesting?
Well, we might follow up a little bit.
That would have been okay. Something we hadn't seen on, you know, the NBC Nightly News.
Oh, shh.
We don't want your version of the story.
All right. James writes in from England. He says, I wanted to say, welcome back, Fred. Good luck to Tom and good luck to Eric with his new position on John's show. And no, Andy, I don't mean on his knees. Oh. See, now, I'm one of the few people who do listen
it's
to Patriots Playbook.
For him.
And I think Eric will enjoy people. His stay in John's mother's basement. You know, see, now, he's from Rhode Island.
Yes, I know. So, I used to work with John a long time ago.
Oh, did you?
Mm-hmm.
Doing what?
When I was in radio. He worked at the same
station.
He
is a little bit like you, Fred.
That was between being a comedian
and a singer.
And a singer.
So does this have anything to do with not wanting to work with him now?
Not at all.
You guys have a past?
Not at all. I like John a lot.
Oh, okay.
It has to do with being demoted from the show of record on Patriots.com radio.
It's filling a hole that we need to fill.
That's what the new guy being hired is going to do.
I didn't say anything.
How's your hole? Family.
That's what the new guy being hired is supposed to do.
We don't know who the new guy is. We don't
whoever
even know.
Whoever it is. Doesn't
if,
matter who it
is. If he or she is going to be good on the radio.
Doesn't matter.
Remember.
We know Eric's not.
Remember what I said about the position. It's writing first. So if the person is not good on radio TV, we're not going to use him on radio TV.
And one of the candidates, Fred, is probably not as strong on TV
right.
and radio as
right.
as the other.
Now,
so.
Fred, can I ask you a question? I got my satellite installed, and I got Comcast Sports New England.
You'll be able to watch
so
our show.
So I'll be able
now.
To watch your. Now, how many people are going to be? Are you going to be on that show this year?
I believe it's just going to be Paul,
guys,
Andy,
here,
and myself with
Kurtz.
Mike Felger.
Okay.
Fred Kurtz.
You guys
are here.
So
it'd be interesting to see if Andy and I actually get to
yeah,
talk.
You and Felger are going to go. You know, you can't swear on that show.
No, I don't think Felger's going to act the same way on that show that he does on
I wouldn't be so sure.
You push his buttons and he pushes
yours.
Oh,
we'll get into it. And I'm sure
and you
we
guys
all
can't
will.
Control yourselves.
I'm sure we'll from time. It's not going to be every week is going to be a bloodbath.
No.
But there could be one that could cost one or
if
both of you your
getting,
jobs.
If he's getting on the Patriots,
right.
you're going to go
when
crazy.
When they lose and when he starts, you know, singing the whatever the.
What do you mean when they lose?
Well, if they lose.
Sorry, I forgot. Well, they're going to go undefeated.
They'll lose
a
game.
Straight season.
If they make
lose.
It sound like when they go into their downslide.
No, I'm just saying. They're going to lose a game.
No,
and
but that's,
what,
that's
that.
Not a big
but
deal.
But that's what Felger will make it sound like.
Right.
Like all
well,
your,
you know how Mike
you know.
Is. Even if they win the game by only 14 points, he'll make
right.
it sound like they're in a tailspin.
But, you know, it'll be interesting, though, because Comcast now has a very tight relationship with the Patriots. They're going to be doing a live show from training camp starting Monday, every day next week. They've got our show. They're going to be doing a Wednesday wrap-up show on Comcast. So you wonder if management says to Mike, hey, you know, we're
son
now
a
Patriot
bitch.
Station.
Paul and I are still going to be the negative ones
right.
if they cut I'm his
balls wondering.
Off.
I'm just wondering, you know.
I won't be the negative one. That'll be you.
We'll see. Anyway.
Yeah, like when I predict they'll go 16-0 in week two, and everybody then calls me the negative one.
Mendenhall.
Up. Oh, somebody's at the door.
Hey, everybody, this is John Rook, host of Patriots Playbook, live from my mother's basement with Andy Hart's Urban Dictionary Word of the Day. That's Word of the Day.
I got to give Gary credit. He really pulled together the story about the Rev situation that involved nudity with the Word of the Day, which always involves sexuality. Today's is flight mask. That's flight mask.
I can only imagine.
It's sort of like Arabian goggles, but there's just a little different spin on it.
This show has more drop-ins now than a Red Sox game. I mean,
oh, well, let's not put us in a Red Sox game category.
But Eric, while we're at our featured, we have started the Get to Know Eric segment and
yeah.
the Eric
fact
fun
of the
fact,
day.
Fact of the day. So what is today's
fun?
Eric fact of the day?
I have
gone skydiving and surfing.
And his mother rides a hog. Time?
Not at the same time.
Can we talk about your mom now?
Were you nude when
your
you
mom?
Were
no, sir.
Because I have heard of nude skydiving. Have you heard of that?
Have you?
Yeah, people do it.
Wow.
I don't know.
And the Revs flight tried.
I don't know. Yeah, but, exactly.
When they pull the cord, it takes on a whole new meaning.
You know what I know?
See, now, if you're working with a cord, you've got more problems
Andy,
than that.
Andy, you were saying that whatchamacallit from the Bills didn't really do anything. It was the doctors and everything, and he got credit. That guy said that the door couldn't be open. So really, what did they do?
Well, they didn't know that, though.
No, but I know. But according to Andy and his definition of Kevin Everett getting credit for nothing, mm-hmm. aren't these guys getting credit for nothing?
Huh? No. The guy was being wacko. Whether he could have taken the flight down or not is irrelevant. The guy was being inappropriate, wacko, and uncontrollable.
Yeah, you never know what he's going to do next.
He could, I mean, say he just walks by and pees on a little girl. And that's not causing the flight to go down, but it's a terrible
thing.
And
when he went over to the door, who knows if he has some sort of device that can blow the door
that
open.
That sounds like Mr. Tornberg was the only one taking this seriously.
That's what I was going to say. Like, it seemed like everyone thought it was a joke.
He was thinking, should we check his bag? Does he have a bomb? And they're like, we got it under control.
And
he's
then
got
they,
clothes
what
on.
What did they do? What kind of handcuffs did they have?
Those like plastic
wraps.
Zip tie things.
You know, the plastic zip
they're
ties.
Plastic, and you feed one end through, and you pull it through, and it can't go back out.
Jeez, you just think with all the stuff going on, they would have landed that bird or something.
They did.
They diverted it. Oh, and
they did. They went to Oklahoma City, I think.
Oh, what is the deal? I must have missed that part 30 minutes in.
Where'd they go, Gary?
Oklahoma City.
Oh. You looked at me when I said that like I was wrong.
What is the deal with...
Tom was eating his salad at the time.
With I'm what? Used to that.
Wardens compliments of strippers.
Air wardens.
You mean the marshals?
Marshals.
I thought that they're supposed to be on most flights.
And I thought those direct flights from Boston to L.A. were like the most dangerous flights.
That's what I would have thought. Exactly. Yeah, I agree with Andy.
Full tank of gas.
Oh, by the
way, I was going to say that, Gary.
That was a good.
Yeah, that was very good.
By the way, if you're not flying JetBlue, you should
maybe
be ashamed of yourself.
Really?
That TV, I mean,
JetBlue?
Yeah, everything.
It's
I'm
the real
watching
deal.
The Big Ten Network. I don't get that on my cable.
No one gets
I'm watching
that.
Ohio State.
Mike Vrabel doesn't get that.
I'm watching Ohio State, Illinois at like 3 o'clock in the morning. It's phenomenal.
Yeah, there's nothing. The flights go by so fast when you get when
Now,
you get
Fred,
that.
Why don't the Patriots do something with JetBlue?
With JetBlue, I don't know.
Wouldn't the I mean, that's not for us. Who cares about us? But, I mean, the players and coaches, wouldn't they enjoy
I would
watching
they'd
TV?
I love that. Yeah. I don't know.
Highest bidder? Is that how it works usually?
I don't know. I don't know how it works.
Isn't JetBlue, they're not a huge airline, though, I don't think. Like, I don't think
well, they're
you
not
can
in
guarantee
Deltas.
That they go to every city you need to go
oh,
to.
Oh, okay.
Krusty from Djibouti, Africa, and also Malden, Mass.
Isn't it Djibouti?
Yeah. I thought it was Djibouti.
Djibouti?
Way to go, we've Tom. Always said it.
It's because Eddie Murphy did something with it a while back, and that's the only reason I know.
With training camp starting, I'm sure there's a lot to talk about, so I'll make this as short as possible. It's been a while since I've emailed.
Is there a pin in Djibouti?
And I wanted
there's
to
one
send,
in yours.
I wanted to send an email before I left Djibouti, Africa,
good.
And before Tom leaves the podcast. Kind of fitting that Tom and I are leaving areas at the same time. By the way, my map pin is on pfwprogress.com. Hey, Fred, say clandestine one more time.
Clandestine.
Clandestine.
I know.
No, anyway.
Craig said a word funny.
Anyway,
too.
I still think it's too early to say that
expletive.
Slater will not
he
be a factor. I just have a feeling about this guy, even if it's just special teams. So Krusty disagreeing with Paul.
But
what
feelings?
That Matt Slater is going to be great?
Why did you say me?
He's going to be a factor.
Okay, let me ask you a question here, Fred.
That means he disagrees with
everybody
I
watched,
else.
You know, Fox Sports are showing like all the old college football games from last year. So I watched Tennessee and I watched Kentucky play. Now, Jerod Mayo was all over the place, you know, making tackle after and you watch this guy and you say, boy, this guy, he's got a chance to be good. I've seen UCLA play twice. I haven't heard or seen Matthew Slater anywhere.
Right.
He's returned the ball to the 20-yard line. Like, where's the feeling? Like, I could say if you say, boy, I got a feeling Jerod Mayo is going to win Rookie of the Year, because that makes sense to me. You've seen him play. He's done a lot of good things.
What's the basis for the feeling?
Exactly.
Right. I don't know. Just as intriguing, and Belichick likes him.
Yeah,
so.
I think the fact that the Patriots drafted him, cut to the chase,
the Patriots drafted him.
Right.
That's the feeling you have.
The last name helps a little.
Yeah. My original email was sort of confusing because I compared Brewski to Slater, but the comparison was in reference to expectations and not talent. Who expected Brewski to be the way he has been for the Pats? Sure, he tied some records in the NCAA, but so did Slater, and
kind
sure, Slater
one.
Will not be a Brewski, but
this
Brewski
thing
had
is a whopping 16.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's,
tied with,
that's a big record.
Derek Thomas,
yeah.
Right?
I got to tell you, I think that they felt it would have taken some time because he had to make a position change,
right.
But I think if you ask Parcells and Belichick in 96, what could he be? I think they would have said, what we're hoping for is about what he ended up giving them.
And the good thing is Slater doesn't have to change positions because he's never had one.
Right, Paul, I was going to ask you, you were a fan back in 96. When Brewski was drafted, did you wonder if he was going to make the team or not?
No.
I mean, okay, now Slater, we don't even know if he's going to make the team.
I didn't know exactly how he was going to fit in, and I obviously wasn't working here, so I wasn't following it as closely as we do now, but I had no doubt that he was going to make the team.
Right.
These things really are huge.
This leads me to why my subject line reads the way it does, which is, thank goodness the Brewski hater is leaving. It is incomprehensible why Tom does not like Brewski, and his exact words back in April were, everyone knows I really don't care for Brewski. He may have lost a step or two, but he is still a team leader, and that has to count for something. His mental and physical fortitude, work ethic, and football smarts set examples for other players to emulate. In the military, that means something. Football is a battlefield. Good luck in Vegas, Tom. I really don't care for you, but I am glad that you have overcome your physical ailments and are in good health. I really like the embrace the hate in 08 thing. I have been using it to the many Pats haters I encounter. And P.S., I was there for the Super Bowl loss. I was here for the Super Bowl loss, and being deployed for 6 months, it just added insult to injury. I still get pissed off when I think about it. Hey, Paul, Everett sucks.
All okay. right. Now, I'm not going to say everything.
He's a Malden guy.
He's a Malden.
We all know stuff that we can't say. I'm leaving. I could say whatever I want, but I won't because I don't want to get these guys in trouble. I don't like Teddy Brewski because I think he's a bad person. You said he's a team leader. I never see anybody talking to him. When all those linebackers came in, he used to walk right by them, didn't even look at them. How many people go to Brewski's locker and talk to him, Andy?
Players?
Yeah. You never see anybody there. He never converses with anybody. He's just walking around with that strut and his look on his face. I've been on the road with him. I don't like the guy. Never done a thing to me. Never said a word. Nothing to me. I just think he's an overrated good person, and I think right now he shouldn't even be on the field as far as football.
Wow.
I think that, you know, the whole leader aspect could be a little bit overrated. I mean, I think maybe at one time he was probably a little bit better than that. But I think if you asked a guy like Monty Beisel what kind of a leader Teddy
right.
Brewski was, I don't think he would tell you he was a very good leader. Now, you might blow that off and say, well, Beisel obviously didn't want the direction or whatever. But I don't think he made guys that came into the system feel real comfortable.
But Paul,
I'm talking about the last 4 or 5 years. When guys came in, I don't think they were meant to feel real comfortable by Teddy Brewski. I don't know what happens when we're only in the locker room for 45, 50 minutes. I don't know what happens the other hours of the day, but I'm not a huge fan of Teddy Brewski.
And don't you think guys like Harrison and Moss, like you can just see the leadership? Like,
yes,
like
I
when Harrison comes in, you know he's the leader of that defense. You know that's the guy. He's going up to people. He's telling, you know, he's talking with guys. And same thing with Moss. I mean, you see him talking with Chad Jackson. You see him do, for as bad a rap as he gets. That's why I think it's easy to take an image and turn it into what you want it to be. And just from the time I've been here, I would say Randy Moss is a better person and a better leader than Teddy Brewski from what I've seen personally.
Okay.
I would agree with that. I think part of his leadership facade or whatever you want to call it was built up upon he was a bit of an underdog. So he had to make the position change. He was a hard worker, scrappy playmaker.
And that's a Boston kind of guy.
Right. And on the way up, that's fine. But I think at some point he became expected to be a top-level player, a Pro Bowl linebacker, and I think part of his whole makeup is he fights from the underdog. All of a sudden, he wasn't the underdog. He was the lead dog, and I'm not sure he was comfortable enough. Like Tom Brady, I think he sees Matt Castle and goes, I'm going to help him because I want to help him because he's Matt Castle, because I'm Tom Brady, and I know I'm not going to get beat. I think there's a little piece of Teddy Brewski that goes, well, should I help Monty Beisel?
Because he could.
There's a chance he takes my job.
Yeah.
And truly great athletes don't worry about their job being taken.
Right. Randy Moss isn't worried about Chad Jackson taking his job.
At the end of his career, any player can be beaten out for a job because they're, but they never in their mind see the fact that they could be beaten.
Right. Jerry Rice didn't go to Denver and think, I'm not going to make the team. He thought he was going to be starting.
And that's why he was great. And I think Teddy Brewski went everywhere in his life thinking, I got to work as hard as I can because I'm the underdog. I'm not that fast. I'm not that big. I'm not that good.
The funny thing is I think Brady probably had that same kind of mentality his whole career.
The true great ones, that's where it ends up. They work harder than they should
and they have the talent.
But he probably felt like at Michigan he had to work that hard because he was never given anything. He was never, you know, even in high school he had to work and work and work to become the starter there. And, you know, he didn't get flooded with scholarship offers all over the place. He got some, obviously. But with Brewski, again, I want to reiterate that we don't see what happens in practice. We don't see what happens when we're not in the locker room. But I agree with Tom and Andy's assessment of what happens when we are in there. And I don't see a lot of activity around the players. Well, I see Rodney Harrison have all kinds of defensive backs coming up to him.
Right.
That doesn't mean anything. It's just an observation.
Right. We also,
I don't think that Brewski embraces that part of the game. I see him being tight with Vrabel. He was pretty tight with Colvin. Mm-hmm. And the established guys, but I don't see him being all that tight with
he's
Eric
part of
Alexander
the old
or Pierre Woods or some
I
of those
mean,
other
Brewski's
guys.
Brewski's always been mercurial. He's been moody. I think he's gotten better.
He's very moody.
When he first
got here,
I mean, one day he'd want to punch you, and the next day he'd be offering you a slice of pizza.
It happened in the span of a half an hour with me.
Right. So, I mean,
moody, bipolar, whatever you want to call it. I mean, that's not a good thing. That's not a characteristic.
I think he's always had
a
kind of chip on his shoulder with the media.
He does.
Always, he's very short with them. If the question's not just right, He'll let you know. But, you know, I will say that when Bledsoe came back with Rucci and they were in the house.
They love him.
I mean, Brewski made it a point to come up from wherever he was all the way up to the suite level to hug these guys and say hello.
Old guard.
And,
he's part of the old guard.
And, you know, and really you could see that.
Or he might need Drew someday, so he's keeping that bridge open.
There was a huge connection there between, for whatever reason. You know, and that's when Brewski learned the NFL. Was when these guys were on the team. And so there was a lot of mutual admiration there. Right. And they were.
I think our point is we don't like him. That doesn't mean everybody has to not like him.
Oh, no. Yeah.
And I also think, like, his image, I think you can create that.
He has
like,
been very smart when, about the camera
right,
being on.
And when Randy Moss got. I mean, how stunned were we when we saw the real Randy? Like,
the day
we
he
just
talked
couldn't
with Oscar Lua.
Ventro. I mean,
and
unbelievable.
I think the Moss thing
I
is
can't
interesting.
Speak that language,
because I think it's completely the opposite. I think, whereas Brewski, I think, is very measured and guarded when the camera is on. Moss is the opposite. He wants no part of the camera.
Right.
It's what you see what happens when the camera's not on that kind of endeared me to Randy Moss last year. And Tom's right. I was surprised because I thought he was a guy with immense talent that probably kept to himself, probably didn't really integrate with his teammates much, and it was just the opposite. He was with every teammate.
Right.
Guys that you didn't even remember were on the team. He's, you know, slapping fives with Oscar Lua, as you guys just mentioned. With Brewski, when the camera's on, he has all the right things to say. He's a well-spoken guy. He's done a lot of great things. I think he's a good guy in the community and all that stuff. I'm not taking that away from him. I just think that there's another aspect of him that people don't see, and that's probably why the three of us and the four of us, because I think you fall in too, Eric.
The other thing about Brewski, too, you know, when we go in the locker room, there are sometimes guys who you know aren't going to talk on a certain day, but they hang out in the locker room, and like Moss is one of them. You know he's not going to talk on most days, but he'll be in there, and he'll be hanging out with guys like Ventrone or whoever, Chad Jackson. You hardly ever see Brewski hanging out in the locker room nowadays. I mean, it is a younger team. Like we said, he is kind of more of like
old school,
you know, old guard
kind of
guy.
Like, I know he wrote in his book, Eric, or that something happened between like him and Brave. Yeah. I don't even see them being at that. They talk to each other when they need to.
I don't think
they're
as
falling out.
Yeah, I don't think they're as tight as they were before that. And Brewski talked about Vrabel kind of riding him a little bit, teasing him about the stroke, and evidently Brewski didn't take it too well. Yeah, Brewski didn't take it too well, and they had a little falling out. And I don't think they're as tight now as they were before that, because they were really, really tight at one time. But and it's not even really about, you know, accessibility, because if you're going, you know, these two guys that we're using as examples, Brewski's far more accessible than Randy Moss. I never talked to Randy Moss one time last year. Not one time. Not because I didn't want to, but he just doesn't talk.
Frequently.
Every time he talked, it was at a press conference or in some sort of huge group session. Mm-hmm. Brewski, I could go up to any time and talk to him. I have a decent relationship with Teddy. But, you know, these guys were just talking about it. I had it in the span of a half an hour last year, and you remember it, Fred, where, and I was in the wrong, I should probably point out, I asked a question that he had just answered. I didn't hear it. And he got really upset at me, and, you know, the fans won't be surprised to know, instead of just letting it go, I got argumentative.
But
and,
you weren't in the wrong.
And we went back and forth for a little bit, and he was really upset at me. I mean, at one point, Andy, everybody was looking, and the PR people came over and tried to, it wasn't screaming, but we were talking pretty sternly at one another. I walked away, about 10 minutes later, he comes up behind me, grabs me, you know, in a headlock, like
playful headlock.
A playful headlock, walks me over, apologizes, tells me, you know, I've known you all these years. I just misunderstood. And, you know, like he was my long-lost brother. And that was, to me, that was Teddy Bruschi in a nutshell. Coo-coo. And one moment, he wants to kill you. The next moment, he wants to go out and have beers.
The only thing I'll say is everybody can have their own opinion, but this is one of those where I think a lot of individuals, we've had the same opinion before we started talking about it, and now almost everybody I talk to, because you're always hesitant opinion. Because he's such this, like, great figure in New England sports. Teddy Bruschi's up there.
Yeah, you don't want to be talking bad about Teddy Bruschi around here.
The more I've talked to former team employees, former players, people that lived on the same street as him.
I think he's a bit of a phony.
No one likes him. But he's magnificent because he's... That isn't out there. The 95% public perception.
But people who know him probably think he's a bit of a phony.
Yeah, I that's why I hesitate too, because I know how much of a beloved figure he is. And Teddy, I mean, look, I do think that Teddy's
done a lot.
We don't
want to promote a fraud.
But I do think he's done.
As a player, you can love him.
I do think he's done a lot of good things here in this area too. Mm-hmm. I think he's very popular guy in the community with reason. I think that Make-A-Wish thing he did, for example, a couple years ago was fantastic.
Yeah.
Fantastic. I was bawling my eyes. No,
and the camera was on.
I understand that, but it doesn't mean he had to do it.
Right.
No, I know. I think he has very little patience. What we're saying is he knows when to do it when the camera's on. That's part of the whole Teddy Bruschi experience.
And some guys don't do it. And
he's very
smart.
He's very, very, very smart.
See, I like motives. If his motive was to do it to promote Teddy Bruschi,
what do you got there,
Tom?
You got something?
Yeah, we got Paul's going to have to tell us about this guy. The Patriots signed rookie free agent offensive lineman Lavdrim Bauta. He was a 3-year letterman for Duke before transferring to Villanova for his final collegiate season in 2006.
Oh, that's the Ventrone.
Paul's not going to be able to tell you about that one.
Ventrone probably.
I guess it's Bill O'Brien's the only guy who knows anything about this guy.
So the offensive line, bringing in offensive linemen, continues.
Why on earth would you spend 3 years at Duke and transfer out? Why would you give up that education?
It doesn't make much sense.
What's his first name?
And if you can't start for Duke, I mean, you got to be able to start for Duke if you started 3 years, right?
I'm guessing that he was asked to leave. That's what I'm getting at.
Lavdrim. Lavdrim, Bauta.
Sean McLaughlin says, hello, guys. Hope you all had a great summer, even though it's still summer on the calendar. But let's be honest, summer is over this week for the hardest working men in the Pats.
You are correct, Sean.
Some thoughts, questions, and concerns going into camp. One, will Kelly Washington play a bigger role in the passing game this year?
Yes.
Yes.
All he's going to do is catch one pass.
Right. But I actually do think he's going to play. And Andy disagrees a little bit, but I think he will play.
Yeah, I think he's a bit part.
You know what's funny? Andy, I was watching an old Tennessee game where he was a freshman. And they were just talking, like, couldn't stop talking about him. They're like, Dante Stallworth is injured for this game.
Two, sad to see Tom go. He'll be missed, and he'll go into the hall of famous people that have left the show, Shane Donaldson, Dave Grizzoli, Frank the Tank, Brian Morey, and Andy Hart. Oh, wait, Andy came back. But good luck, Tom. Pursue your dreams. I think all people should. Three,
that's a list you want to be on.
I was up in the area a few weeks ago, and I'll be back for the Springsteen show. Just a question, is there going to be a place to park for Pats games? And is this complex going to be ready by October?
No.
Also, have won tickets to an event on August 5th, Tuesday night. Any idea what it's about?
Now is the boss, is that where Fred goes every? What's the concert that he goes to?
Well, he went to the police last
year. Oh, the police. That's
we had an issue Sunday night, and he goes, I'm going to be at Fenway.
That was one of those practices he missed.
Yeah, that got in his way.
August 5th is a season ticket holder night.
Okay. I thought that usually was a Monday night.
It is a ticketed event. So
Gary just flipped you off or something, or was not happy with something there.
I think it's the 4th.
Yeah, that's what I thought. It's usually a Monday.
Maybe he gave you the wrong date.
Yeah.
If the Revolution ticket, he got on the
advanced to the finals of Super League, it would be that day, but they haven't won yet.
So if they get to the championship, that'll be a Revs game.
Clothing optional.
Yes, there will be a place to park for Pats games. It should be across the street.
Franklin.
Will there be a regular fee to go into the hall at Patriot Place? Yes, there will be. It'd be like $10 for adults and $5 for kids.
What about children under 3 are free?
What's that? Children under 3 are free? Did you know that?
That means I won't be able to take advantage of that with Will because he'll be 4 by the time that place opens.
What about employees? Don't employees get in for
some
gratis?
Some
gratis.
Depends on how you've been.
You can't just say for nothing. Why? So why? Why do you do it?
Finally, what are the chances we see Seau by the third preseason game?
50-50.
Might see him sooner than that.
Early prediction from me, 13-3 losses coming from San Diego, Indy, at Seattle.
See, now, to me, Fred, can I just chime in here? to me, if you go 13-3 and those are the three games you lose, you're not that good. Because you've lost to, like, there's five good teams on your schedule and you lost to three of them.
Well, that's the
great
thing about
the
schedule.
I would rather have a loss against, like, Miami or Buffalo where you just weren't up for
the game.
You just
shouldn't
show up. Because if you're going to lose to both San Diego and Indy, you're the third best team in the AFC.
Because you should have those games circled. You should be up for those games. If Miami beats you because Jason Taylor's great that night, okay, you let one slip through.
That won't be happening.
That won't be happening, though. No, but that's the great thing about the schedule. They have the Steelers, the Colts, the Chargers, the Seahawks.
If you want to consider
them.
It's so cute the way he concludes the Steelers
just
with the big
learn.
Boys.
Just
the
Broncos.
Telling you, that division, and that division's all done. Too. That division, the AFC North played. Remember I told you they had a tough schedule? They play the AFC South, so they have to play Indy, Jacksonville. That's a pretty good division. And they also have to play the NFC North. So that's the two toughest divisions in football they have to play.
Don't you worry
completely.
About it.
I think that's going to really hurt that division. What I like about the schedule,
your metal
Fred,
will be tested
is posters. you have Indy,
the NFC
San Diego.
East, you mean. North.
Oh, yeah. No, I meant the NFC East. Thank you for correcting me. I meant to say. I was just going about. To say. But I like in the AFC, the three big boys, San Diego, Indy, and the Patriots, they all play each other. And the Patriots have the disadvantage of having to play both of them on the road.
Right. And San Diego plays both at home, right?
I believe, yes, you're correct. San Diego has them both.
By the way, did you see Wade Phillips? Get your ring finger ready. When he addressed like a group of kids or a rally or something, and he said, get your ring fingers ready.
For what? Finally,
isn't that what Bill will say when he opens his press conference?
Another one of our contestants to try to fill Tom's hole is Brian Lowe, who has rocketed to third place, and I think it's as a result of this ad.
Absolutely.
Pompous, arrogant, kind of creepy, a little weird. Don't skip a beat. Replace Tom Casale with Brian Lowe. He worked for the New England Revolution and lost the gig. He hosted Patriots Today and lost the gig. He hosted podcasts and, lost the gig to Lori Baranski. But if for nothing else, he's got experience, I guess. And we aren't sure, but we think that without Brian Lowe, we would have never heard Tom say,
look at that douchebag.
That's why you should vote Lowe in 08. And because he has like 6 votes right now. Make sure you tell your friends to log on to PFWinProgress.com to vote for the new co-host to replace Tom. And make sure you tell your friends to buy us lunch. Brian Lowe. Because the vote doesn't really matter. That'll just bring in someone who leaves suddenly anyways. Now that I think of it, definitely vote Lowe.
I'm Brian Lowe, and I don't approve this message whatsoever. Make sure you go tell your friends to go f*** yourself.
Oh! Fred just lit up like a candle.
I don't know if that beep really did.
That's what I said.
That's the best part.
Wow. Okay.
We have a late entry, Fred. We have another ad that's come in. Or no one can replace Tom.
Oh, okay, let's hear it, and then I gotta go because I have a meeting.
And it shows over now.
Replace Tom Casale? Let me tell you what. This show only exists because of him. Paul Perillo? Forget about it, old man. Andy Hart?
Been
carrying that no talent slob for 3 years.
Field.
Eric Scalavino? Please. He made this show what it is, and unless they're going to clone him, it'll be off the air in 6 months. Fred wanted to go cheap. Now you're all losing the most popular member in the history of PFW in Progress. Maybe the rest of the PFW staff can get jobs over at the new mall, because this show will die quicker than hot dogs going through Andy. Now that Mr. Football's in Las Vegas, book it. P.S. Take the under in the Patriots-Chiefs game for 5 units.
I'm Tom Casale. You bet your ass I approve this message.
5 units is the best.
I like the units. How's your unit? Where are you going?
By the way, if this ship is sinking here at PFW in Progress, the one place I wouldn't be looking for a job
is
at the mall.
Is that mall.
That ship's a little heavier in the water.
Right.
Fred just got up and left.
Unceremoniously left the show in the middle. You know,
Does he think it's over?
What was your reaction? Like, I don't care what you think of these slogans. You might think they're corny or whatever. They're kind of funny.
Yeah.
Okay, you know, especially Brian's, I think, was really funny.
Best one.
Fred just sits there with a stone face like he's Eric, and he's too cerebral, and he's above the whole thing. Sorry, Eric. No offense.
None taken. He wasn't paying attention.
No. And then all of a sudden, end comes up, and he like, as Andy said, he lights up like a Christmas tree.
Not even listening to it.
He disgusts me sometimes, Fred.
He is immature, too. The only reason he lit up is because there was an F-bomb that you could kind of hear.
Well, that's, I think the funniest part is the way it's edited.
Oh, yeah.
You can hear
the U is all that's missing.
No, I took the C out.
I'm not sure that I'm not sure that would pass real radio FCC type rules.
So what goes on Thursday? We got the training camp, and
is this the preview part of the show? The last minute and a half.
Yourself. Yeah, we're up against it, boys.
We come in here and so Eric, you drew the short straw Saturday.
Yeah. I knew that was coming, though. I mean, we had Sunday's an issue Sunday, so both of them have to be in here. And
plus, he's the low man on the totem pole until somebody else comes in.
You guys back to doing this every week now?
Every week, yeah.
Oh, unfortunately.
Jesus.
A weekly part of Patriots Football Weekly.
God, I got
back.
The hell out of here.
I
wondered what you guys were doing in the office. I heard whenever Andy's typing, he's either got Sports Exchange that he's late for, and I knew that wasn't the issue, or he does something for here, and I was like, we already had an issue. I thought maybe you had asked PFW.
That's what he's doing today, actually.
Unfortunately. What is Gary getting excited for? What are you looking for? He's wrote something's on TV.
Oh, we're missing something.
Three words, looks like a monkey. What are you doing? How long does this take to change? You pressed 51 an hour ago. Terry Francona was fired.
Sick?
What are we doing?
Wrong channel.
Oh,
boy, Francona's got as ugly a schnoz as I do, doesn't he?
The World Series of Poker? What are you doing? You got all excited and
we're
got our attention
to
pointed at a TV.
Details.
Oh, so you could have just told us that.
You could have told us to mention
yesterday.
That it happened yesterday.
The Saints acquired Jeremy
Shockey.
And by the way,
he
got into a fight with Reese. That's why it came together. At some mini camp, they got into a huge screaming match.
And I saw that Reese was quoted as saying that it wasn't portrayed properly in the media and whatever, and I don't know.
You got into a fight with him, and you traded him a week
Roy
later.
Williams I was just going to say, if you're in a fantasy football league, I wouldn't select Shockey because he just lost about 20 catches, 240 yards, and three touchdowns. There he was again getting beat. They showed four highlights, and it was Roy Williams getting beat twice.
First time ever that it'll say Shockey a Saint.
Oh,
like anybody will ever write that again?
I bet you, did the Post have that? I'm sure.
I don't know if they did or not.
I bet you they had something
but I
like
did,
that.
I actually thought of that, and I was lame enough to do like Annie's Golden Globe thing. So I threw it up there. I did think of it last night. I will be in full disclosure there.
But yeah, we really.
But a second and a fifth for Shockey and a second and a sixth for Taylor. Andy, you had a problem with that.
Well, I'm sorry. I just think Jason Taylor, even for one season,
he's worth more than that.
A season changer. He can win you a title. He can
like,
put you over the top.
Philip Daniels got injured, correct? Did I see that?
Yeah.
So it was
and not two defensive ends, because the other guy they lost was Ray Ventrone, who played defensive end.
Right.
But it was like...
I was going to say Big Smith.
It was like he got hurt, and all of a sudden they said, all right, now we're going to get him.
Right.
You know what I mean? It was weird.
Or Parcells saw the ESPYs when Jason Taylor said, I'm only trying out for the ESPYs to piss Parcells off.
Hey,
again with the ESPYs.
The listeners have spoken. Fred hasn't been gone for more than a minute, and the show already sucks. I agree. We lose all control when Fred's not here.
But we're overtime.
But in our defense, we actually talked about football. With our pants down here.
Right. He literally walked out in the middle
mid-sentence.
We don't have emails. We don't have anything. And, sorry, we did start to talk football. I thought that's what people wanted.
That's true. But anyway, Thursday we're going to hit you. Training camp will be underway. And
more off-season fun.
It.
Nope. Now it's football, 24/7 here at PFW in Progress.
See you next Thursday.
For great football talk, insight, and a little bit of humor, tune in to PFW in Progress.
Where nobody sucks, except for Flanders.
Patriots.com Radio.